Thank you, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. Ready to take your calls or texts at any point during today's program. Hi, Wendy. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Bill?
You're dressed up today. Very dressed up.
I'm trying to upgrade my work attire.
Are you? It's working. Looks nice. Very nice.
Thank
today.
You. All sure. Old stuff.
Is it really?
Yeah. It is. I've worn this shirt before.
I think we call that vintage.
Vintage.
Well, no, it's not old stuff, but I mean, it's not new. Nothing on me is new.
No.
Except my no-chip nails.
Oh. I knew there was something. I couldn't figure out what, but it's the no-chip nails. That's making all the difference. Thank you, no-chip.
I'm going through this thing. It's called Stitch Fix.
What is Stitch Fix?
And Stitch Fix is a monthly service or weekly. You decide how often you want to get it. I saw it on Facebook for women who don't have time to shop, which I am bummed I don't. I used to love to shop, but I really don't have time to just go browse and try things on.
Right.
So you pay, it's $20 for delivery,
mm-hmm.
and they send you five outfits.
They do.
It's not outfits. They five items.
They pick out.
Yeah.
You don't have any hand in that. They just select them.
No, but you kind of connect your Pinterest page. Do you have a Pinterest page?
No. I got an Etch-a-Sketch page. It's all boxy. Everything I pick out is boxy.
I bet you could put, you could get a Pinterest page and make a page on just Etch-a-Sketches.
Oh, maybe.
Because people love them.
Oh, so they would send me five of those every month. I'm in.
Well, so they send you the clothes, and if you like them, you keep them and pay for them.
Yeah.
If you keep all five, you get a 25% discount, which is pretty great. And the $20 you pay for the delivery goes to credit your account. So if you like what they've picked, it's awesome.
What's your percentage rate so far on stuff that they pick out for you?
My first shipment, 5 for 5. Loved everything.
That's really good.
Is this like the Columbia Record Club? Where
yes.
Right.
Except that you picked out your own records.
No, they'd send you one once a month, and if you didn't send it back,
oh,
you had
a selection of the month. Do they have a selection of the month?
No, but with that, they just sent you what they had extras of. They didn't even really care.
Sure.
These people really take, you
That's
know.
Why I have a Neil Diamond album still at home.
Oh, Neil's good.
Yeah, sure he is.
He's making a comeback.
He's good again.
Uh-huh. Yes, exactly.
Right?
So I was 5 for 5 on my first order, and I loved this stylist, Katrina, who I had, and I requested to have her every time because I'm telling you, she nailed me on everything. A pair of shoes, a pair of earrings, a dress, a couple of tops. It's like, oh my God.
Five for five is, you can't beat that. That's pretty solid. That was the first outing though, but then in the second one, not as good.
Well, Katrina was unavailable, so I had someone else who shall remain nameless. And oh my God. They were lovely items I feel so guilty because they write a little note saying, oh, from your last order that you liked and from your Pinterest page, and your style choices, I was so excited to pick these items for you. You're so edgy.
Now,
remember the edgy and then go ahead, Steve.
Do you really think there's someone named Katrina doing this?
Yeah.
You do? I'm not sure there is.
Some guy named...
You guys,
named,
don't blow this for me.
Some guy named Bernie in a warehouse.
No.
And he just signs it.
No
Love
way.
Prudence.
You know how when you call a call center and they go, hello, it's Reggie Jackson. And you go, are you sure this is Reggie Jackson?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think you're Reggie Jackson.
I picked these out just for you, Katrina. And then for the next one, he does like, you know, Penelope. With
yeah.
The,
no.
You think it's legit? Really? It's a real person?
Don't break my heart.
Wendy, I think there's a possibility. There's a real Katrina on
Kevin,
that end.
I love you the most out of everyone here.
I'm not just saying that for your love, but because there's other services like Trunk Club that do stuff like that too. And there's actual stylists that do it.
You can get a stylist at Nordstrom or Macy's if you go.
But they know you. Like you go in and ask for them and they are there.
That's why it's so important for you to not lie about your weight and height. And your sizes, because I'm telling you, 5 for 5 on the first order.
That
the
is
second,
amazing. I'll give you that's amazing.
I mean, I wore all the stuff.
Couldn't it be some adrenaline from you saying, well, this is a new service, and what a miracle. I don't even have to shop. They just send me 5 things.
No, because even my husband, I sucked him into it, and it's like, fashion show, fashion show, fashion show at lunch. And he's like, wow, that looks nice on you. Wow, you would have picked that yourself. I'm not kidding you.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't really have a lot of time to shop anymore, and I look at the same clothes, the same brand, the same designer, not even a designer.
Right.
And you can decide if you want to spend a ton of money or cheapest possible. Of course, I put cheapest possible.
Yeah.
But this last order, it was a cool paisley dress for someone.
Now that Prince is no longer with us, they have to send this stuff somewhere.
No, I would like that funky paisley. This was more, you have to put a comment, and I said, you know, I wanted to be more descriptive because I don't want them to send this type of clothing item again.
Dear so, Katrina.
No, this wasn't Katrina. That's the problem. Katrina was unavailable.
Dear guy pretending to be Katrina.
Uh-huh. Dear Bernie /
Katrina.
Stop it.
Okay, sorry.
But so I was writing the critiques and I said, not really a fan of this dress. It looks like something my grandmother wore years ago. And trust me, she wasn't very hip. Wow. Also don't like the colors, too autumnal. And my son goes, that's mean.
That is kind of mean.
Your grandma.
But I'm trying to say it would. I just feel bad because she said I picked edgy clothes for you. No, my grandma was not edgy.
Okay, right. but wait. Now you're a nice person.
But
all
I'm trying. I don't want to wait. You know,
I was
excited to get my Stitch Fix, and it's like, oh, ew. Then I got this wrap sweater, and I said, boy, this is kind of frumpy and dumpy on me. It actually looked better in the box than on me.
Oh, man.
Is that too mean?
Wait a minute. You're the one who's always reading the texts and all this stuff, and, you know, the impact. I'm surprised if Katrina does exist.
It's not Katrina.
Okay, but if whatever her name is.
If they would have just given me Katrina.
What's this one's name?
I don't want to say it.
Let's say it's Tina. If Tina does exist.
Katrina and Tina?
Right.
They twins?
Could be. If she's alive.
Right.
And she's not scratching her back hair right now.
Right.
Oh, you're a jerk.
Like Bernie.
Is this like the Love in an Elevator video from Aerosmith?
It is.
Where someone's talking sexy to you, and then it's just some woman who's ironing.
I think there could be something to that, yeah.
My point is, though, those are kind of hurtful words from you. I'm surprised.
But I was looking so forward to it, and I was 5 for 5, and now I'm 0 for 5, and I don't want them to send anything like that to me again.
So you lashed out.
Well, and then there was a blouse, and it was too big, and it just was too flowy, and again, autumnal colors. I know we're going into fall, but I said, yeah, not a big fan of this. I think I saw it on one of my kids' cafeteria ladies last year. Is that too mean?
Yes. Is it possible
totally
that you just like the concept of receiving a surprise box
yes.
every month? It is, right? Because you do that for the boys, too. They have a surprise box every month.
Well, that's Loot Crate. That's when you get cool little fun action figures and T-shirts
but
and stuff.
But it's the same concept of right. somebody sending stuff to you and you don't know what it is until you open it.
This is my Loot Crate for clothes. That's what the boys call it.
Isn't there something to, oh, I got a surprise in the mail. There's something to that, right?
Yeah, but Katrina knows me. She's never met me, but she knows my style.
And why wouldn't they give her to you a second month in a row?
I don't know. I requested it, and I think they just, whoever, depending
whoever's
on
what turn it is.
Yeah. But I have to get Katrina back. Yeah, I'm starting a Facebook page.
Katrina.
The Frumpy Dumpy Cafeteria Ladies. I don't want you.
Katrina's wearing a faded T-shirt and smoking a Swisher Sweet.
As we speak. All right, we'll take a quick break. If you want to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. Is Katrina real or a product of Wendy's imagination?
It's my imaginary friend?
I think it's your imaginary friend.
I like her.
Selecting clothes for you. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and I mentioned a video where someone is talking like on a sex phone line, and the person on the other end is a heavyset woman in a muumuu ironing, having a cigarette while she's talking very sexily.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And I identified it as the wrong song. I said it was Love in an Elevator, and it's Sweet Emotion. Just wanted to correct myself.
Oh, okay. Correction accepted. All right, so you now belong to this service where once a month, is it every 4 weeks?
How often do you get this? I wanted to make it quicker, so after I got my first Stitch Fix, 5 for 5, loved the styles, I wanted it as soon as possible. I would have taken it the next day, but I got it 3 weeks later.
Oh.
So you can schedule how often you want it. And, you know, sometimes, I think all told, it was... the first thing, if I kept all 5 items, you get a $25 discount and you get the $20 credit that you pay for the delivery fee.
Right.
And I think it was $236 for a dress, a pair of pants, a really cute pair of jeans, 2 tops and earrings. So that's really not a lot of money.
No, I guess not. And there are options. You could say you can juice up the price a little bit. I'm okay with that. More expensive, less expensive. That's
right.
An
option. You can decide.
Yeah.
But I loved it. 5 for 5. Someone else is saying I was 5 for 5 on my first Stitch Fix. Also, ever since, I am trying to tweak the items they send. I did write some, I guess, kind of not very nice
pointed comments.
Well, they want your suggestions. Yeah, so
you would think that would help them, because then you could say,
"Don't send me anything like this again."
Right.
No more of my grandmother's clothing from the, you know, 70s.
Right.
And I like Paisley. It's just, it was not very good. It's not hip.
Sure, of course.
And then I'm sad because my new girl at Stitch Fix, my stylist, said, "Oh, it was so fun picking out all your edgy clothing." It's like, it's not really edgy. Then there was like a flowered top. Look at me. Do I look like I'd wear like little tiny flowers?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You don't think that they
give
send
me leather.
Out, there's say that. Don't be afraid to say that. Give me leather or give me death. Say that, you revolutionary fashion hero, you. But
Madame Defarge.
Right.
I don't know who that is.
Yes.
Some literary comment,
yeah,
I presume.
Yes. But don't you think they have kind of a form letter that says, "It was fun picking out your," and then they just type
no,
in.
Because she said, "You can wear this with the earrings you got from your last fix."
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, I'm not wearing this. I'll just wear the earrings naked rather than wear these.
Oh.
Well, I put these, I guess they were kind of mean. When your 13-year-old son tells you, "Mom, that is way too mean."
Yeah.
I think it's called bullying in middle school.
Well, he would be very aware of it. Oh, Kevin.
Jeannie McGrory,
who works.
She's a sales girl here.
Account executive here. Look what the headline says.
It says, "How Stitch Fix's Katrina Lake is changing the retail industry." And this is the girl that helped
she
you.
She designed
the first
me
month,
my first shipment.
And then sent you off to somebody who
yes,
with,
I need to have Katrina.
Much fashion
there
size.
Are photos. That's a real woman.
And she's a woman.
No Swisher Sweets, Steve.
Oh, so there's a picture. It must be real.
Well, that's why she's so busy. She's the standout star of Stitch Fix, and I can't get Katrina again. She must do everybody's first order. That's what it is. It's like a drug deal. They suck you in because they're 5 for 5.
The word fix is in the title.
Yes, and then they pass you along to a guy who's got hair on his back.
But don't you think maybe that first one, you just get her name?
No,
you
it's
think
her.
So?
She's the CEO of Stitch Fix. She handpicked. No wonder I can't get her again.
Wow, $250 million startup. That's not bad. I'm reading about it now.
Do it on your little Wintrust business lunch.
Maybe I will.
And tell them to get rid of, I don't want to give her name, because she's a very nice woman, allegedly.
Maybe I'll wear a paisley skirt when I do it.
I'm just afraid Steve will Booker is a guest, and a guy who looks like Ed Asner is going to show up and pull the roof off of it all for everybody.
I'm telling you, it's a cool little thing, and there are
I
various...
said it's Katrina.
Right.
Somebody else, I love Stitch Fix. I've been doing it for 2 years. Totally agree with you that they're real people. They send little cards and with outfit suggestions. Sometimes I'm 5 for 5, sometimes I'm 0 for 5, but that's the fun of it. Keep giving honest feedback, and it will be more wins than not. So the only thing is I went to send my feedback, and I didn't save it, so I have to re-enter it, and I don't think I can be as mean a second time.
No, you can do that.
You know, I'm teasing you, obviously, right? But it is a $250 million startup company, and she is the CEO.
So maybe she might not have time to just individually pick out all your clothes for
every new customer.
Yeah, but... then she shouldn't have done it for me. She did such a great job. She needs to train the other people. Oh, wait, she's on the line right now.
Oh, she is?
Hi, is this Katrina?
Hello, Miss Snyder. This is Katrina.
You've done such a lovely job the first time with Stitch Fix. What happened?
What about those comments you're making about my company?
I love the company. I just don't like this particular stylist's choices
well,
for
what
me.
What can we do to fix the situation, Miss Snyder?
I would like to get you back, Katrina. I know you're
Katrina,
busy.
Katrina's going to be with Steve on the show at 12 o'clock today.
Oh, on the Wintrust Business Lunch.
That's a quick booking.
Katrina, will you bring the skull?
Anything for you, Steve.
Oh. Skull's out forever.
Bill, when are we going to get you to wear some of those shorts?
I got to see what we can put together, Katrina. It sounds like you're doing God's work over there.
Oh, you
only
are
with Miss Snyder.
Well, I love Stitch Fix. Katrina Lake, changing the retail industry. The CEO of Stitch Fix.
Buy some stock, Wendy.
What?
Buy some stock in my company, Wendy.
Send me some better clothes.
Oh, there we go with that comment again.
There's the trade-off.
Thank you, Katrina. I love your company.
Your account is flat.
Wow. What happened at the end there?
That
was great. Well, the whole thing was crazy, but then at the end. All right, we'll take a quick break. The CEOs are just calling in. That's fun. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We can be reached at 312-981-7200. Later in the show, and this is an annual list that comes out. It's the Beloit College Mindset List. We'll discuss that with you. It's very startling. It'll make you feel old. If you're looking for something to just knock you down and make you feel old, this is the list. What they do every year is they compile these things that somebody who's graduating in the class of 2020, you know, if you're starting college now, you're going to be in the graduating class of 2020. So it gives you kind of point of references of things that these kids, soon to be adults, will know in their lifetime or don't know in their lifetime. And I bring this up, we'll talk about it later, because earlier today, Wendy, before you got in, you know, Kevin and I were in the office, hard at work, finding stories and topics and ideas and songs for the show. And Kevin said, I'm working on my computer, he's working on his computer. And then Kevin goes, whoa! And I go, Kevin, what is it? And he goes, did you know that there used to be an amusement park in the city of Chicago? And I said, yes, I did know that. And he's looking at pictures, and he's like, look at how great this was. He's referring, of course, to Riverview.
Which we've had guests on discussing this.
I think
while he has been
producing
this show.
Yeah, I don't listen to the show.
Obviously.
Kevin is not listening to the show.
What?
But you were not aware that the Riverview Amusement Park existed.
No, and I'm very familiar with that area, too, which that's why my mind was blown, because it's Belmont and Western, they saw it. That's like a police station and condos and barbershops and a car dealership, I believe.
He's like Mork from Ork. Did he just crack out of an egg?
He was talking, after I talked
to
him,
he goes, I have
to talk to Orson. And then he called his friend Orson.
Well,
Kevin Cullen Orson.
You know, I wasn't alive in the '60s, so there's that.
Listen, I don't remember Riverview. I never went there. I was barely alive. Well, I was born.
You were older.
In the '60s.
I went to Riverview as a kid.
Well, you were rich. You also went to the Bozo Show.
But those weren't exclusive. We weren't rich, but that wasn't exclusive to rich people.
We were poor little Brookfieldites.
Riverview was, I think, $1.60 to get into at the time.
We didn't venture out of the 708 land very much.
You never went.
Mm-mm.
You've seen many pictures of it and of how cool it is.
Then I'm madder at my parents for not taking me.
Me to Riverview.
I didn't go to Bozo. I didn't go to Riverview.
What kind of childhood did you have?
I lived in Brookfield. We had the zoo. I thought that's all there was. I worked there. I went there. We didn't journey out very far.
Steve, did you ever go?
No.
You never went to Riverview either?
When did
it close?
I think it closed.
I think it closed in 66,
I think. Okay, I would have been 3.
I know, so how do you even remember it, Bill?
I remember it.
You hear stories about my mom going all the time.
I don't have incredibly vivid memories. I do remember getting sick on the Shoot the Chutes ride. I didn't do well on the Shoot the Chutes ride.
Right.
But it was such a beautiful throw. I mean, it wasn't even throwback then because it was modern day then.
And that's all you knew.
Right. Because we didn't have Great America.
We had Kitty Land there. I went there all the time.
Kitty Land.
And Russell's Barbecue Beef.
I went there. I went to Kitty Land.
Santa's Village was up and running.
Good for you, Santa's Village. Too far for Brookfieldites.
What was the one that was on Harlem Avenue?
Fairyland. We went there too because there was. And then did it turn into a Zaire?
I think Zaire was across the street.
Okay, because then we'd go to Zaire for pizza.
All I had was a traveling...
You don't think you were rich? Right. You were rich.
All I had was a traveling carnival that came in for one weekend a year with one set of teeth among the workers.
With the people still in their prison outfits working at the carnival.
Exactly, right.
Do you remember there used to be someone who would walk around the neighborhoods with a pony and you could ride it?
Right, yes.
I know that was like our parents' age.
I think that's criminal, Wendy.
But there was...
That guy stole that pony.
There was someone that did it, and then the scissor guy who would walk around with the cart.
To sharpen your scissors.
Yeah.
Right. And he and the pony guy had a falling out.
It was a turf war.
It was bad for the pony.
Right. It was terrible for the pony. We also had, I don't know if other communities had this, but in Oak Forest, we had a snow cone man, and it's a guy who rode a bike.
Oh, yeah.
And on the front part of his bike was a snow cone machine, and you could get either red or blue. He didn't even say flavors. Like, do you want raspberry or blueberry? He'd go, red or blue. And I go,
such a pleasant
want the blue.
Man.
And could you not flick the cigarette ash in it if you wouldn't mind? Just have the cigarette ash on the side.
Oh, you don't want a gray one?
Right. The gray ones are best. More flavor.
Stop calling me Katrina.
he parlayed his business into that. Oh, no. But it was just odd to me, like, living here, growing up here. And I know it's possible. Like, I wasn't around during the St. Valentine's Day massacre, but I know it existed. So I always wonder.
Okay, but that's different.
But Riverview has been talked about ad nauseum all over the land because everybody's sad that it went away.
Right. Not around me. Nobody ever talks to me about Riverview.
Your mom and dad never. Although they're too young.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Have gone.
They're younger than we are.
I know. They wouldn't
I thought
have gone.
We were going to fire them when we found that out.
That's still under review.
All right.
They're still looking at that upstairs. But it's just, I don't know. I feel bad. And my daughters are guilty of this too. Every once in a while, I'll say something that I go, well, everybody knows about that. And they'll go, what? What is that all about? And I get that from Kevin sometimes, like with Riverview. There was an amusement park here. I know it was Riverview.
And you know, there actually was a horse track in Lincoln Park. Maybe in the 20s or 30s.
I was just going to say about 100 years ago.
Yeah. They ran horses.
Yeah, I wasn't around for that.
No, that's too long ago.
And, you know, we're going to Bolingbrook on Friday, Kevin. You know about Old Chicago, right?
Yeah.
What do you know about Old Chicago?
Well, it's like Chicago, but it's older.
He has no idea.
You grew up down there.
Are we talking about Old Chicago Stadium? I know that.
No. Old Chicago and Bolingbrook, what was it?
A restaurant.
I want to go to Old Chicago.
Where could you ride the Chicago Loop?
In Old Chicago.
What else was there?
Rides.
And I know that the world is a fast, furious place and there's facts shooting by at lightning speed, but I don't know, it just seemed like a generation or so ago we went out of our way to know stuff that preceded us, but I think that's a thing of the past. I don't think that happens anymore. Don't you?
One word for you. And I don't slam the millennials.
Yeah, I knew it.
I don't slam the millennials.
We get a bad rest. Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A.
At least you have a song about you.
Yeah, there's something.
And I don't have facial hair or a man bun. But I will be a millionaire by the time I hit 30.
Well, how old are you?
29.
Okay.
We got time.
You better hurry.
There's no rush. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
You got some nice hands, too. Very soft. Do you ever do any work besides play tennis?
I do not.
Good for you. You've made it this far in life. Keep it going. It's a Tech Tuesday. Ashley Esqueda is here. She is a senior editor at CNET. And how are you today?
Good. And how are you?
We're doing pretty well. More Apple news. You know, for a while it seemed like Apple was always in the news.
Sure, of course.
But they're hurting a little, aren't they, Ashley?
I know that they're sort of plateauing in a couple of different spaces. And you know, we've heard last, like, couple years, you know, the design of the iPhone is a little boring, and people are kind of waiting for the next iPhone to see what they're bringing. Sadly, it's going to look very similar to what we have now.
Except no headphone jack, which I find to be a deal breaker.
Supposedly no headphone jack. Technically you'll be able to use your Lightning port as a headphone jack, but here's the thing, if you don't have a Lightning-enabled headset, you will not be able to plug them in. You have to buy an adapter, which is the one thing that Apple is sort of a small cottage industry that Apple has going on the side, it feels like sometimes.
Bill looks very confused.
I don't know what a Lightning port is.
This little thing where you charge it.
Oh, all right.
They're going to remove the little hole.
Oh, no.
And so you would have to get an adapter, which is really how Apple makes their money. You need an adapter for everything.
Yeah, I guess.
Really.
Right.
Yeah. But technology always moves forward. So it's one of those things where I understand the need to, if it's a better technology, if it transfers data better, if the music sounds better, I understand it. But then on the other hand, it's really annoying for consumers.
I keep hearing that major stockholders in Apple, they did it in our news earlier, are dumping out on Apple stock, although Berkshire Hathaway is buying up Apple stock. Do you know about this, Ashley?
I am not super into the
stock
business end. Of Apple
I'm not either.
Stock, yeah. So I tend not to get involved in all that because I think I'd make myself crazy.
Oh, yeah, okay.
All right, well, there's a new iPad Pro that might be coming out because that was all the rage. And I looked at it because I was in the market for a Mac laptop, which I bought a MacBook Pro. Mm-hmm. But the iPad Pro, why have an iPad when it's that big? So now is this a smaller one they're making for 2017?
This is a really interesting industry analyst report. So this is complete speculation, but the person who released this report is a securities analyst with a really strong track record of getting Apple predictions spot on. So there's a real high likelihood that this is actually potentially what Apple's working on. They were saying that we are going to be seeing three new iPads next year, and instead of we're going to see the regular 9.7-inch iPad, which is the one that we have seen, we've already seen, so that's the standard size iPad, the regular iPad, the one we're most familiar with, and then, of course, that 12.9-inch iPad Pro, the iPad Pro 2, and then they're saying that there will be a 10.5-inch iPad Pro. And this is one that's just slightly bigger than the 9.7. I know this is sort of like getting into, it feels like it's getting into semantics, like, oh, 9.7, 10.5, you know, 12.9. I know that the 12.9 iPad Pro seems to be really popular with artists or people who tend to sketch or create models. But on top of that, they're saying, this industry analyst is saying that Apple is going to adopt OLED technology for the iPad in 2 years. So this is a different type of screen technology. It would be a flexible screen, but the thing is we can't actually have flexible devices until we also have flexible batteries. So you'll see some flexible screens that you've noticed maybe on the market are the Galaxy Edge. So
What do you mean flexible? You can
bendable, right?
Yeah. So it's if you notice on like the Galaxy Edge, it bends on the side. It has that sort of little lip on the edge.
Oh, right.
It has a sticker there.
But it doesn't physically. You can't bend it like, you know,
Beckham.
You can't bend it like Beckham, right? Exactly. Yeah. And so, the reason for that being is that right now we're still seeing really early at CES every year. It's really cool to see the emerging screen technology where they actually are bendable screens. But unfortunately, the battery and everything that, you know, is kind of powering that bendable screen is off to the side of the device, powering it from a different location. So as soon as we start getting flexible batteries, I think that's when we're going to start seeing, you know, devices that you're going to be able to slap on your wrist, like one of those old slap bracelets and things like that. But we won't see it until then because, I mean, obviously battery technology has a long way to go. And I think we've been saying this for years and years, but I think for me, the big kind of bottleneck for technology right now, all of our small devices is really battery, to have to develop something new, something that, you know, can get even smaller than a standard lithium ion battery, but give you more power and let it last longer. And so we've seen a few different materials that have a lot of potential. Graphene is one of them, but nothing that has hit the market yet that's really made an impact in a huge way.
Bill, you had an Audi car and you loved it. You spoke
yes,
so
did.
Highly of it, and you still dream about it.
Yeah,
you miss it.
I do.
Audi, it has a car that might be talking to traffic lights. How is that a good thing, and how does that work?
This is a really interesting story. I'm sure we've all been there. We're sitting at a traffic light, you're dying for the light to turn green, and you're staring at the crosswalk because you're waiting for the number to count down because you know then the light's gonna switch.
Right.
So Audi wants to do a limited rollout of what they're calling a vehicle to infrastructure service later this year. So they're gonna pick a few select cities and a select few models of their cars. And what will happen is when your Audi rolls up to a red light, it will talk to the light. And
hello, light. How are you? Why are you red? Why don't you turn green so I can go? Vroom, vroom. Is that what it'll say?
Exactly. So it'll display the time on your dash until the light turns green. And I, like, on the one hand, that's great. But on the other hand, doesn't it seem kind of like it's ripe for street racing?
Yes, it does.
There's a countdown. It's like Mario Kart. You're, like, waiting for the flag signal.
Right. That could potentially be dangerous.
Your Audi should actually talk to the car in front of you and say, get off your phone. The light has turned green.
I would absolutely love that feature so much more than a feature that just tells me when the light turns green. I don't need to know when the light turns green. I need to tell the person ahead of me who is tweeting on their phone at a red light that the light will be turning green. That would be great.
See, that's going to give people, they're going to go, well, I've got a minute and 18 seconds. I can make a quick phone call. I could do a text in a minute and 18. That's what scares me.
Is I could catch a Pokemon.
Yes.
Pokemon while I'm waiting at this light. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. But Audi's saying that the countdown will actually turn off a few seconds before. I'm guessing at 5.
When you need it, most?
It will turn off.
Right.
I guess so. Like it'll turn because they want you to stop focusing on the timer and look up at the intersection.
Oh, all right.
Especially when you cross.
Yeah.
So, which I would imagine is important for anybody who might run a red light in opposite traffic. You want to be, eyes up, paying attention for somebody who may not be paying attention at all and catching Pokemon without actually stopping anywhere. So, it's really interesting that they're doing this. And Audi's saying that, you know, we envision a world where this kind of communication technology is built into the nav system. And then when cars all have automatic start-stop technology, we can, you know, really increase efficiency. Like a lot of this stuff is sort of infrastructure based, and the goal here is to increase the efficiency of commuters and make less traffic. And I live in Los Angeles, and if it can make less traffic, I'm all for it.
Yep.
And real quickly here, this is something that I don't know if it's going to surprise all of us, but I'm doing Netflix, and we've got Amazon Prime Video, and my son wanted that Sling TV, and it turns out that all these other options, is this what's affecting the fact that every major cable TV company has lost subscribers last quarter?
This is a really serious, hopefully a wake-up call for cable, for pay-for-TV cable companies. So the 11 biggest pay TV providers in the U.S., which is about 95% of the market, lost 665,000 net video subscribers. So that's more than double the amount they lost just 2 years ago, which is quite a bit. So they are saying the only major TV service that actually added subscribers was DirecTV, but DirecTV is owned by AT&T, whose UVerse TV service lost 391,000 subscribers, so it was really kind of a wash there. They didn't really add or lose anybody. But yeah, it was definitely, this is definitely a sign of the times. Everybody's cutting the cord. I mean, I did a few months ago, and I don't miss it. I have a PlayStation View, and it's live TV. I'm able to watch the Olympics and sign into, you know, different apps to watch different TV shows. And then I just added HBO and Netflix to my TV package that I created all by myself.
What are you saving per month? How much do you save, Ashley?
Gosh, well, I was paying, I have Fios, or I still have Fios internet, but I don't have Fios TV anymore. And the total bundle package included a landline, which I never used. And it was about $200 a month.
Yeah.
And now I pay $55 a month for PlayStation View, $15 for HBO, and $7 for Netflix.
That's so quite a savings.
I got to do that, man. We still have a landline, so do you, Bill. And I'm telling you, I never use it.
I got rid of it. I got rid of it. And I do pay, I mean, we pay $65 a month for our internet still, but it's very fast. And we, you know, my husband and I are very adamant about having extremely fast internet. We have to have it all the time.
Right.
So we're willing to pay that cost, but the television cost, it just wasn't worth it for us.
Boy, they got to start offering some specials to keep people on board or everybody's going to drop it.
Can you still see Two Broke Girls?
I can.
Then I'm in.
It's on everywhere. You can close your eyes and see Two
Broke
Girls.
Oh, there it is. My eyes are closed. I'm watching an episode now.
Ashley, thank you so
much. CBS is actually broadcasting it to Bill's eyes right now. It's amazing.
How is
and
that
it's
show?
Still not funny. I don't understand. You'd think it'd be funny, but
there
it's
are
not.
Billboards everywhere. That show is on every time you turn on the TV. How is that show on?
Somebody's watching it. I don't
know. Someone's watching. People
right.
love it.
Oh, my God. She's Ashley Escada, and of course, she's a tech goddess. That's why you need high speed internet at your house. Also a senior editor at CNET. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Take care. Steve has the news in just a moment. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
What if we both went a little bit crazy? Blame it on Rio.
What if our hearts got a little bit hazy? Blame it on Rio.
Come on, you can't help but smile and cringe at the same time
right.
when you hear this.
This song elicits many emotions,
you
positive
know,
and negative.
Please don't take this the wrong way.
But
you're not typically a trendsetter, but you
are now. What do you mean by that?
But you are now. Let's just say that.
All right.
Because this song, everybody's raving about this song.
Everybody
now,
loves it.
And
yep.
you brought it to the table.
Well, you're welcome, everybody. Rest of the world, you're welcome.
From an old movie you watched. What was it?
Blame It on Rio.
How could I not know?
Michael Caine, Joseph Bologna, Michelle Johnson, and Demi Moore. And Valerie Harper.
Oh.
I know.
We've lost her, haven't we?
No, she's... No, she's
I'm
alive.
Sorry, she was very sick she's for a alive. While, and I couldn't remember.
She's doing better lately.
Until
she's doing
now.
A little better. Well, she's all right.
All right, can we talk Olympics?
Yes, what do you got? What'd you see?
I saw something. Can I just tell you that I really do enjoy the Olympics. Bill, I know you haven't watched any. I know, Steve, that you've watched it because your wife, Sharon, is totally into it.
Completely.
And it's fun for her. You know, it's fun to sit with your partner when they're excited about
of
something.
Course.
And then it gets old and you go into another room.
Right.
But there are a lot of things that keep popping up, like the O'Donovan brothers who won silver in the rowing. They're
I
just,
saw those guys. They're nuts.
I can't
Irish
even understand
brothers.
Them. I
they're
just heard Nutella and pizza. That's really all I understood
yeah,
in the whole
fun.
Exchange. You have, what's her name, Gabby not putting her hand on her heart, which she has come out and her mom's defending her.
Right.
We can talk about that. But this is taking the cake. And I don't watch the Olympics because I don't have to, because now they're social media where you can find all the best events.
Just the
after
highlights?
It's yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Monday night, dramatic end to the women's 400-meter dash at the Rio Olympic Games.
Mm-hmm.
For a moment, it looked like Allison Felix might take the gold, but then Bahamas sprinter Shaunae Miller had been leaning for the first half of the race.
Yeah.
USA's Felix caught up in the last few steps. It's going to be a USA win. They're neck and neck. And then Miller did something that I have never seen happen before.
What'd she do?
She lunged face first over the finish line. So
She dove.
She skinned her knees, and she won. She landed face down. She skinned her knees pretty badly.
Now, Hope Solo would say that she was a coward for doing that. Was she a coward?
I wouldn't say she was a coward, but isn't that kind of cheating?
No.
It's not football where you're trying to get a touchdown.
But it doesn't say in the rules you can't do that, does it? You're allowed to do that. I've seen guys in baseball, if it's going to be a close play at first base, the guy running to first base and the first baseman, the guy running will dive, you know,
that's
to get
baseball.
To the bag.
This is track.
Why is this cheating? This isn't cheating.
I don't know. She took the gold. 49.44 was the time, while Felix grabbed the silver at 49.51.
Wow, close.
I know.
Very close.
And the difference was her
diving. And so why would you call that cheating? If it doesn't say in the rules you can't do that, that's allowable.
Have you ever seen anybody do that before in running a track race?
No, because I don't watch any track races. It just doesn't do it for me.
Bertrand, isn't this illegal? Do you know anything about the world?
They wouldn't have given her the medal if it was illegal.
Well, I would dispute it. They took it away. Bahamas sprinter Shaunae Miller took it away from USA's Allison Felix.
I'm on board with it. Steve refuses to comment. He knows better. He's smarter than us.
All right. Well, I have never seen that happen before in my life. Ever.
In all the track events you watch?
Never.
Okay.
No,
how many track events have you watched?
You see everybody crossing the line as they stick their chest out
right.
to push themselves, you know.
Diving is better. It's smarter. It's faster. It gave her the gold.
I know, and I just wonder if she's going to be stripped of that gold.
Mm-mm.
And she should do a Band-Aid commercial with the skin needs.
I think she chose she wanted it more than anybody else.
See, I wanted to know what people thought about that because I have never heard that before in my life. There's also, it come up on the show that you don't really like to dance, and at Kevin's wedding, you're not going to dance.
I'm not going to dance at Kevin's wedding.
I saw a dancing horse. Why are you laughing?
When you were sleeping or in real life? Where did you see the dancing horse?
The Olympics.
Oh, yeah, they've added dancing horses as an event in the Olympics. Why was there a dancing horse?
This horse danced to Smooth by Santana and the guy from, you know who I'm talking about. He sang it. Rob Thomas.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
I can't think of the name of the band. This horse has four legs and danced so eloquently that there's got to be some way we can teach you how to dance by Kevin's wedding.
I don't want to dance. This horse obviously wanted to dance. What was the purpose? Because
I got to find the email I sent to myself.
It doesn't seem like that would be a part of the Olympics.
They have a whole equestrian thing.
Yeah, but
these are like the Lipizzan dancing horses.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't excite you at all.
No, I know your goal here is to make me want to watch the Olympics, but it's still not working.
They have dancing horses.
Yeah, it doesn't
bring on the dancing horses. All right, John has a thought about this diving. I have never seen this before, John. Have you?
No, I never have, and my understanding is you're supposed to stay on your feet in a race, not dive.
But at the last second, if that's what's going to propel you to victory, You don't
well,
have.
Yeah,
there's, I understand
I mean,
it.
At the last second, you're supposed to stay on your feet and try to get over the finish line on your feet, not diving across it.
I think I can't find a reason that this wouldn't be perfectly legal. That makes every sense in the world to me. I would do that if it was for the Olympic gold.
Well, evidently, and as
that doesn't seem fair to me. That just doesn't seem fair.
I agree with you.
You think the winner must end up on their feet, right, John?
Well,
is
yes,
that what you're
of
saying?
Of course, it's a foot race.
Yeah. Well, they use their feet to get all the way to the end, but then at the end, it was the lunge that won it. So I'm fine with that.
I don't think it did win it. That's the point.
Yes, she got the gold, and 630 is saying not illegal. How much track do you watch? Which you pointed out, none.
Right.
Happened in the USA Olympic trials this year.
Oh. So it's not unprecedented.
God, I have never seen that before. John, thank you very much. Jan, what do you think?
Well, I heard them say that it's your torso that has to pass over the line first, and that's why runners lean forward. And yeah, it looked cheap to me too, but they explained that it was like your torso. So her torso got there first, and her feet got there second.
It's whatever crosses the plane, right? No matter what part of your body crosses the plane first.
I think it's like that's why they lean, because then their torso gets across the line before their feet do. But it was too bad because it was just, it looked cheap, but it wasn't cheap because it's the rule. So that's just the way it is.
Jan, what if the runner, whoever was running, it comes to the end of the race, and then instead of trying to stick their torso out, they just extended their arms as far out in front of them as they could? That would, you would win with that, wouldn't you?
I don't think so. I think it's just torso. I'm just quoting what I heard. That's all I'm doing.
All right.
Thank you.
I'm not the rule maker. I'm just the rule suggester.
Just the rule suggester. All right.
And I also watch a ton of Olympics. So yeah, like I know way too much.
Yeah, that's fine. That's good for you.
And good for us because we're not watching it at all. Thank you, Jan. Richard, you do what you have to win. I understand that, and it took some skill. You know, it's
it
not
did.
Like she was slow. So it's not a debate about Miller's dive. It did require skill, but is it legal? Is it ethical?
It's totally legal. It's totally legal.
Yeah, there's no rule that says you can't do
See,
that.
I am surprised at that.
Hmm.
The only thing that has to be in play is that your body is crossing the finish line.
Any part of your body, right?
Correct. It's not that your feet have to touch it or your toes have to be across it. And that is why, if you ever notice, you guys have stated you don't watch track a lot, but if you notice where you would think the runners would run even faster toward the finish line,
yes,
that last eight meters or so, they actually don't speed up. But what they will do is they will lean forward because they know the rule. And if you think about it, the U.S. is not challenging this. They're not saying, oh, this is wrong. She was robbed or anything like that.
No, that's Richard, I am challenging it. Me alone, I'm
Wendy's
challenging
upset
it.
About it.
Well, I guess the good thing you're not judging and you're not running.
But Richard, what I said earlier with the arms extended, why wouldn't you do that? That would give you an extra maybe 2 feet over moving your chest out just a little bit. Your arms extended, that's a better move, isn't it?
You may not have as much control over your arms. If you ever notice, toward the end of a race, a lot of times runners, they start flailing their arms, too, because they're getting hyped up about finishing, and they're losing their form and stuff.
Oh.
But leaning forward is a solid thing to do.
Right.
Your head is forward, your chest is forward, your shoulders are forward. It's a win. That's
and the momentum, you know, you're running, so that starts leaning you forward.
I would think.
I have the perfect example for you, and this will put it in perspective for you. Think about football games. When they get into the end zone, all they got to do is get that freaking ball in the end zone.
Cross the plane.
How many times have you seen a player just lean out his arm because he knows that a lineman is going to take him out, but he leans his arm out just to get the ball over the line? That's the same thing.
I totally get it in football. I'm not questioning that. I just had
in
not.
In all sports, though, I mean, think about it. Football, baseball,
you
almost every
get
sport.
Across
just
the line.
Across the plane.
You have to clarify that for me, Wendy. Why is it different in football?
I'm just throwing it out there. Obviously, it isn't different in football, but I had not seen anybody win a race by diving before, and it's all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess now you have, right?
That's it.
Okay.
Thank you, Richard. I'm not saying honestly right or wrong. I'm questioning it because I have not seen it before.
All right.
And we have a lot of people that want to talk about this. 312.
Is this cheating or not?
312-981-7200. I know you got to do what you have to win the race.
Sure.
I agree. Yeah. I just, this was very foreign to me to see it.
All right. Give us a call. Give us a text. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
This is the Santana song I was talking about.
Oh, Smooth. Right. Right.
And Mary knows the name of the dancing horses. We were talking about an Olympic event, which I was surprised to find dancing horses. Mary, what's it called?
Dressage.
And it's called that. Why?
Does
that mean
clue.
Anything?
Dressage?
No. Dressage.
Dressage.
Dressage, I believe.
Okay.
Dressage.
Dressage.
And it's a form of the equestrian.
It's horse dancing.
It totally is. Yeah. And obviously,
kind of, I believe it's rooted in actual battlefield moves of horses.
Yeah, I went to see the Lipizzans up north, and it was, they taught these horses in battle to not necessarily dance. It's like, you know, a diversion. They're coming at you. Hey, look, I can dance.
Right.
But they taught them, like, how to get up on their back legs because they look more intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in the horse battle days, it's very interesting. But did you see it live when it happened, or did you just see it this morning?
I saw it this morning.
It's really cool. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. It is. And it takes an awful lot of focus to be the partner of a horse when you're going through something like that.
The rider, you mean, or the whatever you call it?
The rider.
It is pretty amazing.
I did it as a young, a kid. I think I got into something else by 16. But I was doing it before. And it really is kind of fun, especially for a kid to be able to control a horse that weighs like 400 or 500 pounds.
I know.
Sure.
They're so big, they're scary. But think how cool Bill would look at Kevin's wedding if you brought a horse to dance for you.
I might dance with a horse at the wedding. I might.
Thank you.
Do they always
Mary.
Dance to the song Smooth? Is that
no.
always? Oh, I get it, because they're in Brazil. Now it makes sense. Is the DJ from Wrigley Field booking music for the Olympics now?
Could you be any funnier? Seriously? God. All right. We were also talking about the Olympic dive that went on, I guess we could say, and not in the diving category.
Right.
Sprinter Shaunae Miller had been leading for the first half of the race, and then USA's Allison Felix caught up in the last few steps. They were neck and neck. It looks like USA is going to win. And then Shaunae Miller just dove over the line at the end of the 400-meter dash. I didn't know if it was legal. I thought there was going to be a dispute. USA is not contesting it at all.
Mm-hmm.
Scott, what are your thoughts? Scott? Hey, Scott.
Shh, Scott's sleeping.
Poke him, will you?
Sure.
All right, thank you, Scott. Scott didn't have much to say. How about Betty?
Hi, this is Betty.
Hi, Betty. What are your thoughts?
I've been listening, too, and I saw that last night. I really know nothing about track, even though I had a brother 50 years ago that used to be in track.
Oh.
And I thought the same thing as you, Wendy. I thought that was cheating, too, and I thought it should have been disputed.
What did the commentators say, Betty? The people calling it last night, what did they say? Were they shocked? Did they say, oh, you got to take another look at this? That's cheating.
No, I did not hear that at all.
No, nothing?
I was waiting to hear something like that, but, you know, and I kept watching the replays.
Sure.
Nothing was ever said, but I thought the same thing. That's cheating, and I think it should have been disputed. So I'm on your side, Wendy.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, Betty. And did you remember when a caller said that runners flail their arms?
Yeah.
I was kind of curious as to why. Gloria, you know why?
Well, I wanted to kind of set this straight, and it's all about physiology. The reason that their arms start going down when they're getting tired, it's all about a lack of oxygen and blood supply, because as the muscles get tired, they're getting lactic acid in them, and they're not getting, it's anaerobic activity. In other words, their body is getting less and less oxygen, you know, as they're getting more tired.
So it would be
also
near impossible.
Even explain so that their arms are down, everything is down, everything easier for the heart to get oxygen and blood to it. that may in part also explain why people dash over the line. I don't know that for sure, but, you know, they're almost falling, really.
So
they're,
it would be near impossible to stick your arms way out while you're running just because of the blood
hard.
Flow?
Yeah. It would be very difficult. They don't have enough oxygen and blood supply. That's where they're losing it, in the peripheral, in other words, the legs and arms, anything
the
that's
extremities.
Wrong. Yeah, the extremities, right. They're losing oxygen and blood supply as they're getting fatigued. So if that helps explain some of what you see. I'm a physiology person. I like it and I understand it, and it answers many questions.
Sure.
Well, thank you for clearing that up.
To share that.
We appreciate it. You are going to try
Thanks,
running
Gloria.
With your arms out in front of you later, aren't
I
you?
I swear, if I was running a race like that, I've always thought this. If it's the first person across the line, extend your arms, because then you got an extra like foot and a half or 2 feet on the other people. Instead of just moving your chest out just a little bit, your arms would be out way in front of you.
Well, try it. Do some kind of 400-yard dash later or 50-yard dash.
All
this
right.
is 400 meters.
We'll meet up with Carl Lewis, and we'll take a race, he and me.
Because think about it. If you're running like with all your effort,
right?
You're moving so fast, I don't know if you would be able to put your arms out in front of you.
It's always weird, too. There's that motion of your arms like darting back and forth and back and forth when you think, just focus on putting them in front of you. I'm going to revolutionize the racing world. You'll see. They're going to use my name from now on. When Olympians put their arms way out, they'll go, "Oh, that guy's doing a Bill Left with his arms. Look
at him.
He's
pulling a left."
That was an Olympic event once, too. We'll take a quick break. We'll find out what's in the news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill, it's Wendy, and you just asked me a weird thing.
This is strange, isn't it? A week ago, we had an incident on the show.
You had an incident.
I had an incident on the show. I had a little accident with some ink, and I had ink. I think the most inopportune place you could have an ink stain on your pants.
The crotch.
That's where it is. So
that's where it is.
I panicked because I didn't want to lose these shorts. These are among my favorite shorts.
They're shorts.
Yeah.
They can be replaced.
I know, but they're fairly new. I got them at the end of last summer, and I like them, and I didn't want to lose them. They're white, and the blue ink just didn't look good on them. So you were very helpful, and you said, "I've got hairspray." And I said, "No, my hair's great, but I've got this ink stain on my pants."
Listeners were telling us. It wasn't me. I just offered my hairspray.
So we put hairspray on it, and it made the ink even brighter.
There's a video on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Yeah.
People were so concerned that we even got calls into the newsroom.
Is that true,
and I'm
Kim?
Not even kidding you about how to solve your issue.
Well,
Bill was a newsmaker.
I was in the news. Right. They had me on CNN. I did an interview with Anderson Cooper, came into town.
Aquanet is now sponsoring you.
Yeah, they're a big sponsor now. So, all right. So I brought, when the show was over last week, I brought them into a dry cleaner and they cleaned them. And I just got them back yesterday and I'm wearing them today as my defiant way of saying the ink. You think you got me? You don't.
Is it completely out?
Yeah,
drum
it's gone.
I feel like we need a little drum roll on
no,
this.
No, you don't need a drum roll, Kim. But listen to this weird twist.
You might have to wait on the weird twist.
All right. It's got but I will tell everybody, if you can hold on, because it's got a very weird twist.
They might have to come back for the second half of the show.
All right.
Because
that's
we
fair.
Have a special guest we need to talk to.
All right. All right.
And I think he's here. No. Okay, go ahead.
He's
sorry.
Not here. All right. All right.
Back
to
you.
I got the pants yesterday, and then I wore them today.
They look great.
That's nice of you to say. I'm happy with the job they did over at the dry cleaner.
Are those pants mirrored? Because I can see myself in them.
that's harassment.
I have a whole bunch of pickup lines.
That's definitely harassment.
For Chicago coming up second half, too.
I put my hand in the pocket.
All right, now you have to wait.
Oh.
See, this is what you do, and we're not doing it to be, you know, a tease, but we have a special guest
on the
line.
All right,
if
there's a special guest, we'll wait. I'll tell you what happened later. I will.
There's a mystery as to what's in Bill's pocket. We will find out that mystery later on today.
Right. That's coming up.
Would you want to do the honors here?
Yeah. You know, for years and years and years, one of the most respected and beloved newsmen in the city was Robert Jordan. And Robert Jordan just announced that his days as a newsman here are coming to a close. And he joins us right now to talk about his career over at WGN-TV. Robert, how are you?
Oh, I am so fine. Thank you so much for inviting me.
We love you.
We do love you.
Well, thank you. This is just great. I really appreciate it. The last 2 days have been so heartwarming for me that, you know, it's just unbelievable.
How many years in Chicago news for you, Robert?
Well, I've been here since 1973.
Wow.
Yeah. So I left WGN in 76 and went to CBS Network.
Yeah.
77. Went to CBS Network, but I was based out of Chicago. So, you know, I was traveling and reporting for the Cronkite, the Walter Cronkite, in the CBS Evening News, and then went back to WGN in 1980 when the station became a superstation, went up on the satellite,
mm-hmm.
and I had a chance to come back to local news, and that's just been terrific. So, you know, I've been here ever since. I'm back
home. How about
home.
That? How about that?
Is it tough to decide to retire, Robert? Because, you know, you're a staple in everyone's homes for so many years. And plus, it's really cool to get a good table at a restaurant every once in a while, huh?
Well, I don't know about that. You know, retiring is, you know, I've been talking about that with people. I'm not really retiring. I'm retiring from WGN.
Right.
But I have my own company, and so I'm still going to be doing that. I'm still going to be producing videos and working. So it's not as though I'll be going from the Lazy Boy to the Chase Lounge to the couch and that sort of thing.
And that's,
I'll be working.
And you will. And you're talking about your video production company, the Alzheimer's Memory Preservation Project. Why don't you tell us a little about that?
Right. Well, that's a recent project that I'm working on. My company is Video Family Biographies, and we do these 90-minute stories for families to help them preserve and protect the family legacy. And we have families all over the country, and so we've been working with them to help them tell their stories about how the family developed the business. These are generally multi-generational family offices and businesses. And so we work with them to help tell that story for
now, Robert,
kids and grandkids.
Do you produce those or narrate them or do the question and answer with these people? What
I
is
do.
Your you do all
right.
that?
Right. Yeah, I do. And I write them and it makes them a little different from our competition in that we don't just string sound bites together. We really have a script that we do, and we interview 25 or 30 people that the family wants included. And these are just private videos that the families will commission so that their kids and grandkids will know, you know, how they, you know, let's say they wanted to know about Grandpa. One of our first families that I can talk about was a guy by the name of Elmer Wavering, who invented the car radio and went on to go with a company that turned into Motorola.
Look at that.
Yeah.
And we have a lot to owe him thanks for having a car radio, because those rides before were pretty quiet and pretty boring.
You wouldn't hear Bill and Wendy. If
that's
not,
true.
You know?
No, that's so true.
Well, what a great thing. I know that, you know, there weren't iPhones or there really wasn't easy access to video cameras when I was younger and my grandparents were around. But it would have been nice to interview my grandpa on his journey from Italy to here. So what a great idea to preserve the legacy of someone's family. So
right.
amazing.
I have my mother on videotape, but I didn't get my dad. He walked in the door while I was taping my mother, and I just turned around and looked at him and said, "Hey, Dad, I'll get you later." Well, he went to a meeting that night. I had flown to Atlanta, and then he was out, and I said, "Oh, I'll come back and get him another time." And he died, and I never got him. And so these are the things that happen, and when our parents or grandparents leave us, they generally go away with hundreds, if not thousands, of unanswered questions that we say, boy, I wish I had asked them this or that. So I recommend to people that they use their video cameras on their phones or whatever and just ask grandma and grandpa, tell me about your grandparents. And now they are back several more generations learning about their family history.
Speaking of multi-generations, Robert, you know who's good? Did you ever see this Karen Jordan who does the news over on Channel 7?
You know, one of the things that happens now is I'll get introduced quite often as Karen Jordan's daddy. Wonderful.
But
I love it.
You have to be super proud. This is a, you know this, this is a very hard job to do, and you're great at it, and then you produce a girl, Karen, who is just so good at it, too.
Well, thank you so much. You know, Karen used to go with me. That's one of the advantages of working weekends. When she was a little girl, I would take her to work with me, and she'd sit in the back of the car, and we'd ride around, and you know, she'd go with me on stories, and she just saw how, you know, what television was like, and I think it just became something that was natural for her. And then when she went to Spelman College and came home and said she wanted to go to Medill at Northwestern for mm-hmm. grad school, which she did, and came out and got her jobs all along the way and worked her way from Rockford all the way up to Chicago. So she did it on her own.
WGN-TV's Robert Jordan on the line with us, and he has recently announced his retirement. When is your last official day on the air?
That's kind of strange in that it is listed as the 25th of September, but I will I still have another year left on the contract, but I'll be just doing some fill-in for Steve Sanders at noon or Mark at 9 or wherever the station needs me. But basically, it's the 25th of September, and then I'll just pop in once in a while.
Robert, you've covered so many important stories since you debuted back in 1973. Give us one or two that stand out. Which stories really hold special interest for you?
Oh, man. You know, I just have to preface this by saying that I tell young journalists, keep a diary. And I started out doing that because over the years, you do so many wonderful stories that begin to just sort of blend and run together after a while. And the station has been doing some little retrospectives and throwing in some of the clever or funnier stories that I've done. And then sometimes I'll say, you know what, I don't even remember doing that story. Mm. There was one that was on the air about a stand-up roller coaster I did in 84, mm-hmm. and I don't remember doing that story.
Really?
Wow. And I have a good memory.
Sure.
But it's just that those things, you know, we laugh in our business when, you know, I used to come home and my wife would say, how was your day? What did you do? And I'd have to struggle there for a moment to think, what did I do today, you know, because, you know, you've been City Hall every day, or you're covering a fire or murder or, you know, all of those different things. And there have just been some wonderful stories over the years. And I'd have to, you know, take a moment or two to try and dig that up, some that stand out.
All right, we have a listener who's got a really good question because, you know, we're all wondering what Jackie Bang is going to do without you every Sunday. But, Len, you have a specific question for Robert Jordan, don't you?
Yeah, I want to know how do you and Jackie started that patty cake routine and how long did it take you to perfect it?
Wow. Well, you know, it started over 10 years ago, and it was kind of a routine that we did after the end of the first break. If you know television, you know that the first segment is the one that's heavy with violence and tragedy and, you know, blood and guts and so forth. And so we'd get to the end of that first segment and we'd look at each other and go, boy, yeah, that was heavy. Hmm. And sometimes, you know, we need to get some energy back. And so during the break, we started doing this little routine and it started growing. And we added to it and added to it over the years, and that's how it got to be so long. And it really worked well to get us back up for the second segment. We were no longer, you know, kind of deflated after, you know, people don't realize that news people are affected by the news that they present and discuss and write. And so, you know, if you have any kind of a heart at all, it does affect you. And I've been affected by a lot of stories that I've covered. So that was how it started.
Well, Len, we are going to put the video. I know you've seen it, and pretty much everyone else has as well. Len, thanks for calling. But we'll put the YouTube video up on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, because you guys got it all going on.
Thank you, Wendy.
Robert, I always thought it would have been weird if you had done that during the news. Like, it's good to do during a break, but if you were delivering the news doing that, it might lose some credibility.
You know, Jackie and I laugh all the time. We have been at programs or emceeing events, and we've been on different sides of each other. She usually sits to my left.
Yeah.
And so if she's sitting to my right or something, we can't do it. Or if one of us messes up midway,
yeah,
we're lost. We laugh. We have to start over. So it's
beautiful.
It's kind of rote. Yeah.
Oh, my God. If anybody performing in the Chicago area needs some backup dancers, you guys should
do it. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
You know what? You and Bill can sit there and attract people who walk up and down Michigan Avenue with that.
We could try that. All right.
You should come in and teach us how to do it.
That.
You and Jackie should come in and teach us how to do it.
Yeah, and that's something I must say is that that's been, you know, what a pleasure it's been to work with Jackie as a co-anchor. She is, she's, you know, solid, and she has been the one who kind of holds me back from the moments when I might tend to be more goofy. She'll bring me back in. And she's a solid, strong journalist, and it's been just a pleasure to work with her. We have the record of the longest anchor team in Chicago now since Linda and Sylvia were no longer together.
Wow. That says a lot.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, we hate to see you go, but we're happy that you're going to be doing other things, and I think we'll see you around.
Oh, well, thank you all for calling. That was so kind of you. I really appreciate it, and this has just been the greatest. I got a comment from Ron Majors on after Feeder published the article who said, come on in, the water's fine.
Beautiful. Bob, we miss you already. You have meant a lot to this city, and you really have done such an exemplary job on the news, and thank you for everything you've done over the years.
Well, thank you so much. You guys have a terrific show, and I enjoy it so much, and I wish you all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Robert. We'll tune in on the 25th for your last day.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
What a great guy.
Robert Jordan, yep.
We got to work on some routines, you know. There's a 4-minute video where they're going nonstop.
I know.
I only saw the short one.
Oh, no, I can't believe how good they were. All right, a quick break, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's funny to me how just the mere act of lunch just takes it all out of you. Every day we have lunch, and every day.
I know. I'm
you're
like an
tired,
old lady. I'm sorry.
Full just because you had lunch. I'm stuffed. I couldn't possibly.
I'm so stuffed. In our old schedule, we'd do our show, and I'd go home and have my own business with lunch.
Right.
And now it's like.
But it's not at an odd hour. We're having lunch during the lunch hour from 12 to 1.
Well, isn't that kind of weird, though? You relax for just an hour, and then you have to go back and be on. You know,
yes.
Like, that's kind of hard.
This is a tough job, coal miners who are listening and think your jobs are hard. This is way harder than what you're doing,
listen,
coal miners.
This August, the 21st, is my 30th year on the air.
Happy anniversary.
Chicago. Thank you.
They're planning a huge surprise party for you, by the way.
All I've asked is for my husband to find my air check that of me on the loop when I sound like I'm 10 years old going, here's Bob Seger.
The first few days on the loop?
On the loop.
Yeah. I'd love to hear that.
We got
to
find it.
Find
it's somewhere
that.
In
Bring
our
that
house.
In. Bring
but,
that in.
So listen, this is the best job I've ever had in radio. I
Absolutely.
Love working with you.
Isn't
You're the best
fun?
Best partner I've
Come
ever
on.
Had.
That's nice.
I mean it since I'm looking. He can't even look me in the eye, Kim, when I'm saying that to him.
I don't know how to.
You're that humble?
Yeah, I am that humble. Yes.
Humble pie.
Yes.
I just, he's yes. the best partner I've ever worked with, but, you know, I don't like to go have, I don't know how people who work in the office can go out and have this big-ass lunch and cocktails and then come back and get anything done.
It's just so funny to watch you, because it's the same every day. In the last 15 minutes before we rejoin the show, you just sit in the office and you're like, I don't think I can do it.
I'm just so full.
I don't think I can get back in there.
It's like I'm hungry when I started my happy lobster roll.
Yes. And then,
and they're not giant. They're good.
No, they're
awesome.
Sandwich
but
sized.
It's just, you know, I like to be. In order for me to perform well, mm-hmm. I need to be filled with anxiety,
right?
Hungry,
yep.
And in a hurry.
Sure, you need conflict. Any good story needs
yes.
conflict.
I don't
get
have
it.
Conflict anymore.
Oh.
I've had a lovely morning. I've right. had a great lunch.
I'm so full, I couldn't possibly.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm
just so
it's just nap time.
right.
I don't even want to nap.
Do,
I just
try this for the rest of the week. From 1 o'clock to 1:20.
Don't complain?
Just late. No, you can complain. People would think they have the wrong station on if you complain. Well, they canceled the Bill and Wendy show. Where'd they go?
Funny.
Just lay down. You can lay down there. Just
I don't want to lay down. I want to move time. I want to be finished with my day. I don't want to take a break.
It is, in all fairness to those of you working 10 and 12-hour shifts, it is a 4-hour shift. It's not easy.
I know. It's terrible.
It's not easy for anybody.
But do you, I mean, if you worked an 8-hour day, could you go out and have like this big lunch, like these business lunches? Do people even do that anymore?
Yeah, because it would break up those 8 hours. You go, well, we'll put a little break in the middle and I'll go to a restaurant and have lunch.
Yeah, but then you come back and you're sluggish.
Yeah, I know. But somehow people seem to manage it. It's just so funny every day.
I know.
Here.
I am so sorry.
I can do part two of the show.
I'm not going to talk to either of you anymore. I'm sorry.
No, please keep. It's a talk show. You have to talk. We're going to get to this list. There's the Beloit College's mindset list. And I know people go, I don't know what that means. They put this out every year as a way of explaining what the kids who are starting college today, and the kids who start college today, they are the class of 2020.
Wow.
You know? Not
2020.
Not the show with Hugh Downs on ABC.
And Baba Wawa.
The year 2020. If you're starting college today, you are in the class of 2020. So they're giving you their points of reference for those kids. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But in the first half, I explained, and I won't go into great detail. I just want to tell you how this weird thing played out. I did have an ink stain on my pants last week. I did take it to a dry cleaner.
And we ridiculed you,
You
Kevin
made
and
fun
I.
of me. And
it's
I'm okay with that.
Shorts to a dry cleaner.
I didn't want
you just
them to be ruined.
Washed it.
Most people would have done that, but my fear was, what if I try it on my own and for some reason I mess it up in my own washing machine and I have no one but myself to blame? It's my fault that the ink stain was there. I didn't want to hit the daily double and then really ruin them by putting the wrong sort of cleanser on them, you know.
Can I just tell you, it's a white pair of cargo shorts. I don't know the brand, but I bet you $100 you could find them now. It's not like it was this crazy paisley blue suede jacket
right.
that
they're
you,
fairly
is irreplaceable.
Standard. I know. They're fairly standard.
You're cute.
I don't know who makes them. I think I had them specially made. I think I did. I got a
you got
seamstress.
Them on Etsy?
Yeah. Somebody specially crafted them to my specifications. All right. So here's what happened. I went in and I explained to the lady, and I told you last week, the lady was not too pleased to see me in there because I'm in there almost every week with some sort of a stain of some sort. Usually it's oil, not motor oil. It's usually salad oil, like
oh,
from
this
oil
guy
and vinegar.
Again.
The guy who doesn't know how to put oil and vinegar in his mouth. All right. So I brought them in on Thursday or Friday, picked them up yesterday, wore
Why
them today.
Why did it take so long for a pair of shorts?
Because they send them to Asia, I think, to do. I think they send them overseas.
It's not like Dunkin' Donuts where the donuts are made elsewhere. They do the
I think
laundering there.
I'm not sure. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway.
You are so innocent.
I put the pants on. At some point, I put my hand in my pocket because we were on break.
And you like Alanis Morissette.
And I do. And then here's what's in the pocket. Are you ready for this? A ring that does not belong to me, I don't think belongs to any member of my family. And even if it did, let's say that it did, why would they put it in my pants pocket?
Maybe she does like you.
I know it's not my
wife. Maybe
wife.
It's a little sign that like, oh,
she
you think I don't like you, but
here's a diamond ring.
Come back.
Now, it has on there a gemstone that I think is a diamond,
a
isn't
gemstone.
It?
Gemstone.
What
funny.
Is that?
It looks like a diamond, but it could be cubic zirconia.
Could be. It could be.
It's very tiny. It appears to be a pinky ring of sorts.
That's what I think, too.
And it I can't see the 14K on it, and it looks like I see copper coming through it.
Oh, is
so
it? So if
I
it is...
I doubt
if,
it's real.
Oh, all right.
It could be, though. I don't have one of those eagle-eye...
The gem thing that you put in your eye to
the
see...
The jeweler eye socket. The jeweler borg, as I like to call it.
because it does. It resembles the Borg from Star Trek The Next Generation. Now, my next move is, of course, to bring that back into the dry cleaner when I spill something on my pants either today or tomorrow and say, hey, as long as I'm here, does this ring belong to you or one of your staff, right? It would be wrong to, like, why would I keep it? It doesn't fit me.
Yeah, but I would ask if it was one of your girls.
Oh, it could be somebody in my family's. I've never seen this ring before. I would notice it.
Because I know I find various things in Jimmy Mack's shorts and...
Do you want to make that a radio game? Should we have people call in and guess what's in your husband's pants? You want to do that?
He also wears cargo shorts.
Yes.
So there are various pockets. And I know, like, when he was cleaning the house yesterday and he walks around and all of a sudden you'll find, like, an action figure or something, because he'll pick it up and put it in his pocket, because then he'll bring it upstairs and put it back on in the Star Wars room.
Perfectly acceptable.
So... were you walking around your house and that was out of place and you...
I've never seen this ring before.
You know what scares me?
Hmm.
Somebody was wearing your shorts.
That's what it leads me to believe, is that somebody may...
No wonder it took so long.
Unless you were wearing a pair of pants, you wouldn't put something in a pair of pants that were just laying there, or you were laundering or full... You wouldn't do it. It's awkward, right?
Somebody wore your pants.
I wonder if they didn't... That's why it took so long.
That's what I said.
I brought them in on Thursday. I'm like, could I get these tomorrow, maybe Saturday? Monday or Tuesday.
No, my nephew, same size.
Right.
You're 100% sure those are your pants and not, like, you know...
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be a hoot?
It's funny. Can I tell you why that's strange? When I put them on today, there's a line in them right here, like at the midway.
Those aren't yours.
I didn't remember this line in these pants.
Oh, my God.
Those aren't your pants, my friend.
These are not my pants.
Those aren't your pants.
Take those pants off.
I don't think these are.
You didn't have double buttons on the side either. These are not my pants.
They gave me someone else.
Are you really just realizing that these are not yours?
I swear to God.
This is a guy.
Once again, he's standing up at the mic with his hands on his pants.
Bill. I'm not afraid to do that, Steve.
Oh, my God. Those are so not yours.
These are not, are they? Well, they are now. I gave them to
me. You
got
a ring out of it.
Right. I got a ring and I got a nice pair.
Are they nicer because someone else is wearing your pants right now?
Well, stand up. Can you just turn around? I'm not being sexist or, you know, HR violating.
Well, whatever.
Can you just turn around? I want to see the back.
Yeah.
Those are so 100% not your
pants. They're not, are they?
Those have flap pockets that are buttoned shut. Those are...
All right, there's a line down the middle of them.
Oh my God.
When I tried them on today, I'm like, wow, they iron these weird because there's never a line there. But
it never occurred to you they might not be your pants?
No.
No, it takes the voice of reason, Steve Bertrand, and he literally just found out on the air right now.
These are not mine. Well, that's weird.
No, it isn't. It's your life. There's a ring in the pocket. Oh, that's weird. Wait, that's not my pocket.
Who would put a ring in my pocket? It's hard.
Oh, my God.
What do I do now?
Somebody's wearing Bill Leff's pants right now. We have to put out an APB.
I kind of like these more, but this line
Someone
in the middle is
Someone else's butt has been in those pants.
I know. That's uncomfortable.
Those aren't yours.
I can't even rent bowling shoes because I'm like, oh, God, 1,000 people have worn these. I am wearing someone else's pants.
Yeah, probably only one other guy's worn them, though.
I hope so.
All right.
Up to now.
You better jump on this pretty quickly. Or
I know.
Somebody's,
I know.
They already gave your pants to somebody else because they obvious. You know what scares me? There's another goofball out there that takes their white shorts to the dry cleaner.
Well, that just shows that it's more common than you think.
It's a doppelganger.
Right. I don't know if
you
it was a German man or not.
Just think of it. They'll meet. They'll be friends for life.
Right. This is a buddy movie. Right.
It totally is. Oh, my God. You have to call the cleaner.
If Kevin Hart steals this idea, I swear to you,
I'll sue him. One of those pockets.
He could in these pockets.
Those pockets
are bigger.
Hey,
Kevin Hart's in my pocket.
You don't even have as many pockets in those shorts.
No, there's not as many, is there?
How would you not know this morning when you put them on?
I don't know. I just, you know... They come back in this bag, and it just looks like a miracle. I sent them out all kind of crumbly, and they came back all straight
and
clean.
With the tiny safety pins, the gold safety pins.
Even, like, I looked where the blue stain was. I'm like, these guys aren't just good. They're really good. Because usually there's some remnant of either the stain or that they've gone out of their way to scrub it and wash it. And there was none of that.
It's a cover-up. They couldn't get the stain out.
They gave me a different guy's
pants. So they bought you new pants.
They didn't buy them. They just took them from some other customer.
You've got to call them because someone else has your pants.
They probably buy used pants at estate sales for this very reason.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, I'm serious. You have to call them.
I will.
Like now.
Nah.
Not on the air, but you can do it during the commercial break.
It's awkward.
Someone else has the pants that you couldn't think about being without.
Right.
So you took them to the cleaner so they could clean it.
So play that up, right?
Well, you want your pants back.
I do want my pants back.
Your butt is in foreign territory right now.
Now you're making it sound dirty. It's just uncomfortable.
Can I just tell you, I am not going to group all men like this because I believe Bertrand would notice. You have been in these pants all day and didn't realize they weren't yours.
No, but they're similar enough. Like the color is the same. They're just
different pockets.
The pockets are different. The crease in them. All right. They're very different. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
Those actually do look better.
They look nice, right? All right. Maybe.
Wait, here's this, Wendy, though. Okay. So, Bill, what was episode 3 of season 2 of Chips about?
Well, as you know, it was a two-parter.
See? Details matter in
right,
certain things.
Right, that I know.
Life.
All right, that I do know.
Oh, my God, you are a bigger goof than
this
I
is
anticipated.
Crazy.
What did I say? You're the best partner I've ever had on the radio?
You said that. I remember that. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then more crimes and mysteries will be solved. Robert Stack will join us when we return. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Jessica Fletcher.
What a mess.
You are a piece of work. I have to tell you, it's like there should be a reality show just on you.
I don't think I want that sort of attention. Thank you for the offer. But
too bad, but you've already got everyone's attention.
Pass it.
Bill took his pants to a dry cleaner.
Yeah.
You found something in the pocket that didn't belong to you. It's
a
little diamond ring, maybe cubic zirconia.
Could be.
You wondered where it came from. Didn't even really question the pants, just why that was in the pocket. And then Bertrand, just very calm, cool, and collectively said, "Are you sure those are your pants?"
And now the more I notice things about them, the more I realize they're not at all my pants.
For example, they're navy.
Right.
No, actually, these are bright white. Yours were off-white.
I think so. One of the legs is frayed. Now, I got them at the end of last summer at Macy's.
When you get things dry cleaned and they're creased all the time, like the hem of the pant, it starts getting worn out and it is completely ripped.
It's really frayed. And I know I got them at the end of last summer. And then it was like the first week in September when I got them, and you can't really wear this kind of white into September. So I wore them once or twice last year and once or twice this summer. Not enough to have the leg all frayed like this.
They're not your pants.
I don't think they are my pants.
And it was weird, first of all, what tipped you off to the fact that they weren't your pants.
The diamond ring in the pocket?
This diamond ring isn't in Billy's pants no more. Lori, you found something of a family member in a pocket.
Well, no, I was the launderer mom for my kids when they were in college.
Okay.
My son was probably a sophomore. He would bring home garbage bags of dirty clothes that could stand up. And
is that what I have to look forward to when my kids go to college?
Yes,
you do. So he brought home like 3 big garbage bags, and I lovingly was washing them. And I reached in the bag. First, I found pieces of glass.
Ooh.
But he lived in a fraternity, so I allowed that something was going on I didn't want to know about. Then I reached in, I got a few things, and then I pulled out a woman's bra.
Oh.
A 32 double D, real pretty.
Wow. Oh, she would be a keeper.
So what I did was I followed directions, I hand washed it delicately, I air dried it. And then I folded it, and I put it on his pillow, and I put a mint next to it. I'm never washing your clothes again.
Oh, my God. That's perfect, Lori. What a way to say, hey, I washed your clothes this time. Never again. Have fun.
Never. And he just turned 40, and he's got 3 kids, and he is an excellent clothing washer.
Sure. Of course he is.
You taught him well.
Great story, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Not even a moment of, does this belong to you or somebody you know? No, none of that?
Oh, she didn't want to hear about
it. No, you don't want to hear about it.
A mom does not want to hear about what her college son is doing.
No.
I'm sure you don't want to hear about your daughters.
No. No.
But they have to hear about their dad wearing someone else's pants.
Yeah, that's weird. That part's weird. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news, and then we'll explore this year's Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2020. If you've not heard this before, it's very sobering. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, Steve, thank you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Every year there is a list that is published, and it is called the Beloit College Mindset List for the class of, and then in this particular instance, it would be the year 2020, because a kid entering college today is in that class. Sounds very futuristic, doesn't it?
I know.
Remember the show C-Lab 2020 when you were a kid?
Yeah.
The cartoon? That took off the way, way, way in the future.
You couldn't even comprehend that right. We'd get to 2020.
Right. Seems so far in advance, but no, it's now. So every year they put out this list, and it's their way of saying that it's compiled at the Beloit College in Wisconsin. It's their way of saying, in the mind of a kid entering college now, this is all he or she knows. They can certainly read about stuff in the history books, but they didn't live it, so they don't know it. So they say, among those that have never been alive, there's a bunch of these, among those that have never been alive in their lifetimes, that's a kid entering college now, Frank Sinatra, Phil Hartman, Sonny Bono, Flo Jo, these are all people that passed away even before these kids were born. It's hard to fathom, but it's true.
Flo Jo's not dead.
It says Flo Jo, yeah.
No, it's just they don't know who she is. It doesn't mean they're dead.
Among those that have never
she
been
died?
Alive in their lifetime. Yeah.
Well, they weren't alive when Florence Joyner was... She's not dead.
She's dead, right? Isn't she gone?
Really?
Yeah, she's been dead for years. Yeah.
No
yeah,
one I told me.
She
yeah.
died in 1998. I didn't know that either, Wendy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I knew. I wondered why we haven't heard from her in a while.
That's why.
She could have been
That's
talking
the reason.
About the track meet where the girl jumped over the...
No.
Damn, another mystery solved.
She is.
Jeez, thanks,
That's
Bill.
That's two today already.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, she's gone.
My condolences.
You had heard about Frank Sinatra, right?
Yeah,
you knew
I knew
about that.
That
and Sonny Bono. All right. There has always been, again, in the lives of a kid who's entering college right now, class of 2020, there has always been a digital swap meet called eBay. Their whole life, eBay's existed. Like, it was such a new thing to us. We're like, it might be dangerous. I'm afraid.
There are still people not really ready to figure it out.
I know.
You mean it's a stranger who's sending you used stuff?
That's right. That's how it works.
You could buy a new used pair of shorts.
I might end up having to do that. It says they have never heard Harry Carey try to sing during the seventh inning in a game at Wrigley Field. Think about that. That's how long Harry Carey has no longer been with
or
us.
Or at Comiskey.
Or at White Sox Park. Yep. West Nile has always been a virus found in the United States.
That's not a good thing.
No, many of these are not. Many of these are not.
I grew up on West Nile.
Right. Right. That's a neighborhood. Vladimir Putin has always been calling the shots at the Kremlin. Like, when I think of a Russian leader, no disrespect to you, shirtless one, but I think of Leonid Brezhnev with the Andy Rooney, Boris Yeltsin for a while. Guys that, Boris Bedanov, remember? He used to run the show over there. Russia.
Yeah,
with
Gorbachev.
Natasha.
Vladimir.
Right. Mikhail.
Yep. All those guys. Cloning has always been a mundane laboratory procedure. Do you remember Dolly the sheep was the first time any of us ever heard of cloning? And we're like, well, the sky's the limit. What can they do? But a kid of today, you talk about cloning, they're like, yeah, what else? What else? Yeah, show me something else.
What else you got for me?
No big deal, that cloning, they say. Alien Gonzalez, who would like to visit the U.S. again someday, has always lived back in Cuba. They didn't know about his little venture into the United States.
Oh, that was the scariest, most tragic thing to look at that poor little kid.
Yeah, yep. The United States, again, this is for a child who is entering college today. To them, the United States has always been at war. Think about it. We've been in conflict constantly for those past almost two decades. There's never been any downtime with the wars. When we were kids, we, of course, had the Vietnam crisis, but once that was over, there were little skirmishes around the globe.
But
it wasn't constant like it is now.
Wow.
With the United States involvement.
Why aren't kids nicer to each other then? Seriously.
I don't know.
God, this is eye-opening to me.
The Ali Frazier boxing match for their generation, Ali Frazier boxing match for their generation, was between the daughters of Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier.
Oh, my God.
Right?
I just did a double take.
Yeah, I saw you do the double take. They have never had to watch or listen to programs at a scheduled time.
Well, we hope you do. We're on 10 a.m. to noon, then Steve Bertrand with the business lunch,
right.
And then we're back 1 to 3.
Yeah,
right.
But they don't have to because they can listen to the podcast.
Yep.
which is always welcome.
But think about just the way, like, I can't speak for you, but for me, there were times I was out somewhere doing something, and I'd say, oh, there's a show that's on at 7. I have
Friday
to go.
Friday nights.
Yeah.
Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Appointment TV.
Yeah.
Right. Not anymore. That's that. A kid today would have no idea what you were talking about with that. Well, DVR it. Why wouldn't you just DVR, hit the button? DVR the whole season. Watch it all at once. John Hinckley has always been able to get out of the hospital to go for a walk. We talked about this one time. That's still a little disturbing to me that John Hinckley has that kind of freedom. He can take a walk if he wants to. Just, John, just come back when you're done with your walk. I promise. TV ads for casinos have always been permitted to mention there is actually gambling going on in them. There was a time where you could have a casino ad, but you couldn't indicate the fact that somebody was gambling in the casino.
Really?
Same with beer commercials. You can't show, to this day, in a beer commercial, you'll notice you don't see anybody actually drinking the beer. They've got the beer. They're holding it. They're throwing it to their friends on the beach, but nobody's drinking the beer.
That's weird.
Yeah. If you want to reach any of these kids, send them a text because emails are often ignored.
You know, frequently I will get some information from the school that I need to pass along to one of my sons.
Right.
And my youngest one, Dylan, he goes, I haven't checked my email in probably 6 months. He goes, will you just text it to me? They have no use for email.
Isn't that funny that the thing that to us was instantaneous.
I know.
The game changer.
Enough.
Right.
The magic.
Yes.
I left a voicemail recently with someone.
Did they get it?
They called back and said, I see you left a voicemail. Like, well,
they didn't listen to it.
No. Oh, I see you called. Yeah, what do you think of that? Oh, I didn't listen to the voicemail.
That's how spoiled we are. So if something else comes along that's a half a second faster than texting, texting will be a dinosaur. Nobody will text anymore.
Yeah, but there's something to be said for that because I get emails and if I, you know, if we're on the air, I don't have time to answer it.
Yeah.
So I kind of say, oh, I'll do it later, and I never get back to it. So texting, you get an immediate answer. I agree with texting is the way to go. If you need an answer right now, what time is Dylan's haircut appointment, I will text Jim rather than call or email him.
Right.
Just answer. I don't have to talk to you. Just, but really, if I'm just trying to find out something so I can plan my bikini wax,
right.
I just text, get the answer, and then I can go
move
about
on
my
with
business.
Your life. Yeah. Now, I think I told you this. During a family conversation a couple of weeks ago, my daughter said, if they had been invented in reverse, like if texting came first and then you could talk to somebody on the phone, people would be blown away by the fact that you don't have to press any buttons on a keypad. You can talk to somebody and they'll hear you. That would,
their voices.
That would be the thing. Right. Yeah. You can hear what the guy sounds like this way. That would be amazing. But they were invented in the opposite direction. So it's texting that's amazing. That's the winner.
We'll go back to it.
Do you think we will? I wonder if we will at some
point.
There's
certain things, though, that only a phone call will work on.
Right.
You can't text something.
Right.
So phone call and FaceTime. FaceTime's the way to go.
Yeah, I guess. I shouldn't say a child. Somebody entering college. They're not a child, right? They disagree with their parents as to which was the first Star Wars episode.
Oh, God. Really?
Because the older generation, I know.
Oh, that really hurt Wendy.
That one hurt, I know.
And I actually have a question that I have asked Star Wars fans around the world.
Why?
No.
Is that your question?
No, the question is, and I've asked Jim this, if someone who hasn't seen any Star Wars movies, do you begin in the chronological order?
That's a great question. I would say see them in the order that they were made.
That's what he said.
I would say that.
Because I wondered, seriously.
Although I'm a huge proponent of that Godfather version where they've melded the two together and you see it in chronological order. I love it that way.
But I would still say to a pure...
Yeah, it is.
Because you need to see the lack of computer-generated things at the beginning to show how it grew.
Evolved, yeah.
And then how it kind of went back to that. I just thought that was a fascinating question.
Yeah,
Dave,
it is a good question.
You want to jump in on this?
Hello, my darlings. How are you today?
Good. How are you, sir?
Doing just fine. Television ads,
yeah.
Radio ads, print ads, billboard ads for cigarettes.
Oh, gone. Like, we all grew up with them, but a kid today wouldn't know could advertise for Tarentons.
We'd rather fight than switch.
Right.
All the above.
Right. No, that's so true.
Thank you very much. The Newport people had a lot of pool parties, that's all I'm saying. I don't know if it was the cool menthol or what, but Newport had a lot of pool parties.
It was Tarentin who had fight than switch, right? And everybody had a black eye.
Yep. Wasn't real.
That's a good message for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, smoke and punch your friends. It's fun. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have more of these. It's the Beloit College Mindset List, and I think we're going to try to talk to the person who organized this list, aren't we?
Can't wait to find out why.
Yeah, why? It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Wendy. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. We've been talking about this year's edition of the Beloit College Mindset List. This one, of course, for the class of 2020. Your kids who are starting college today are in that class of 2020. This comes out every year. It makes us feel older every year, which is sad. Tom McBride joins us right now, a professor of English emeritus at Beloit College there in Wisconsin, who knows a little something about this list, don't you, Tom? Boy, and I'm not kidding when I say this. Every year when I read this, I feel older and older and older.
Well, you know, they say that the older you get, the faster time travels.
Yes.
And, you know, one of the items on this year's list was, you know, that John Elway and Wayne Gretzky have always been retired. Well, that seems to be as though it happened about 18 minutes ago, not 18 years ago.
And you know what hurts with those two in particular and other sports greats that have been retired for almost 20 years, like Wayne Gretzky and John Elway? I remember their rookie season like it was yesterday.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
There you go.
So it makes it even more hurtful.
Exactly. On the more positive side, you know, the list also indicates that as long as these entering college students have been alive, or as long as they could remember at least, Serena Williams has been winning top tennis tournaments.
What was the first list you put together and why, Tom? Because first of all, we need to thank you for a lot of show material that we get every year when you put this out.
Yes.
So why you and why Beloit College?
In 1998, there were a lot of lists circulating about college students, and they were very cranky lists. They were mostly about, excuse me, how culturally illiterate college students were. They didn't know quotes from Shakespeare and that sort of thing. And we decided, you know, at Beloit that we don't think that students are that ineducable. We don't think they're that ignorant. We wouldn't be open if we did. So we decided to come up with a list that really talked about what has been always or never true in their lifetimes. And the whole idea was that, you know, when Beloit College professors or other professors, teachers everywhere, teach college students, they shouldn't mention Watergate and assume that everybody in the class is going to know what they're referring to. It's what I called on the Today Show hardening of the references.
And, you know, wait, Tom, it's true because if a lot of times if somebody mentions something and you're not familiar with it, sometimes you're embarrassed to go, excuse me, what is Watergate? Because you'll feel
That's
stupid
right.
asking.
That's right. You really do. And, you know, there was a situation about 5 or 6 years ago, and I think it was at a conference at the Kennedy School for International Relations, and somebody mentioned the Iron Curtain, and to her credit, a young woman, a young millennial, raised her hand and said, excuse me, I don't know that reference.
Isn't that something?
Did anyone groan at her?
I don't know whether they groaned at her or not, but, you know, I sort of give her credit.
Yeah, me too.
Or, you know, admitting that, you know, she'd heard of the Cold War, she knew all about the Soviet Union, but she'd simply never heard the term Iron Curtain. And, you know, it's true that as the Cold War went on, you know, fewer and fewer people were using that term. It was a term I grew up with, you know, when I was a kid. But she, of course, was a good 30 years younger than I. So, yeah, I mean, you can make all sorts of references, and people don't know what you're talking about. I was on the Today Show once. I was backstage with Dawn Wells, who played
Marianne
on Gilligan's Island.
Yeah, and she said, I was telling her about the Mindset List. She said, well, she had a nephew that said, Aunt Dawn, did you know that Paul McCartney used to play in a band?
Oh, my God.
How about that?
Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
That?
We've got Tom McBride on the line, professor of English emeritus at Beloit College, and Steve Bertrand from the newsroom wants to jump in on this conversation.
Tom, hello.
Hi there.
It's so we're talking a lot about what these students don't know, but from these lists and all of that, you can sort of help predict maybe how they will behave in the future, right? I mean, this is something that could actually be useful in that way.
That's right. In fact, you know, we have a brand new book out called The Millennial Promise, which, you know, really sort of looks at how to adjust to this sort of new pitching, as it were. You know, Stan Musial used to adjust his stance to different pitchers. Well, you know, we have a generation that has a unique set of descriptors. You know, the first and most important one is that they are digital natives. You know, they're not digital immigrants like we are. They've grown up with this stuff. And the question is whether or not, you know, given how much they know about it, you can actually turn it into an educational opportunity for them. I mean, is there any way to turn texting into a method of learning, for example? We know they're very good at texting. We know they text a lot. We also know that they text very trivial and superficial sorts of things. And so is there a way that, you know, they can use texting in order to understand sociology or in order to understand literature? And that's the sort of thing we talk about, you know, in the Millennial Promise. And another thing, you know, is that this is a generation that's grown up now with the whole idea of college must pay. You know, we're going to be taking on a lot of debt. You know, this is a generation that now, you know, can go online and find out what they're going to be making in 5 years after they graduating, after they graduate, depending upon whether they major in philosophy or hotel management. So, you know, how do you sort of engage this, these students in learning for its own sake when they're interested in learning for economic motives? So these are just a couple of issues that, you know, are presented, you know, Steve, by this particular new generation.
Tom, the list never fails to enlighten us. Every year when I see this, I go through them one by one by one, and I'm amazed. I don't know why I'm amazed by it, but even you, one of the originators of the list, it must shock you from time to time, doesn't it?
It really does. And I, you know, I think it seems to me that we now, you know, have the next new thing about every 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me the rapidity of cultural change. It just seems to me we have like about a trend a second, a new trend a second. And I think that, you know, for me, you know, here's what sums it up for me, okay? Let's take 20 years ago, okay, or even 18 years ago, okay. So you're having a conversation 18 years ago about who won the Oscar for Best Picture in 1975.
Mm-hmm.
So just 18 years ago, somebody says, let me look that up on my phone. Even 18 years ago, you might have thought about committing them. You know, and that was only 18 years ago.
Right.
Right? I mean, you've got all this technology devolving onto this gadget that is, you know, smaller than some seashells.
Right. I'll look up the Academy Award winner, and then I'll take your picture with my phone. You would have thought, what's wrong with you?
I used to call the library reference desk all the time with questions.
Did you?
Yeah, for the news, we'd have a question.
You know, these kids have no idea of what it would mean to call a library reference desk. That is as foreign to them as, like, sending a telegram was to us.
Sure.
You know, when we were that age. It's just, you know, it's just our carrier pigeon or whatever. It's just amazing. And I think to me, it's amazing how all these media have devolved onto this one device. It's that, I think, really sums it up.
Such a pleasure talking to you, Tom. He is Tom McBride, a professor of English emeritus. That's how you say it, right? Because
that word makes
me crazy, at Beloit College. And we need to check out your book, The Millennial Promise, by Tom McBride.
It's on Amazon. It's called The Millennial Promise, 40 Tips from the from the mindset list. And you know, the next time I go to Dublin with Steve, I'm going to bring along a copy and give him one.
Oh, you guys have traveled together, have you?
That's right.
I didn't know that. How about that?
Well, if you want to hang on, he gets really irritable, Tom, if we're late for news. So if you can hang on a minute, we can pick this conversation up after the news. How about that?
We don't want to make Steve irritable.
No.
I'll hang on.
Too late.
All right, hold on.
Hang on, Tom. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with Steve's news next on 720 WGN.
It's
Steve. Thanks. Hi, everybody. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder with you on WGN. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Our guest is Tom McBride. We've been talking to Tom. He's one of the originators of what's become an annual occurrence for us here on the show, the Beloit College Mindset List. This year, for the class of 2020, this means students entering college right now have only known or not known certain things throughout their entire lifetime. Tom is one of the originators of that list. And Tom, like we said earlier, we love it. It's just great every year.
Well, thank you. You know, we have a lot of fun putting it out every year. And, you know, I think the list is primarily a conversation starter. It used to be said that New Yorker cartoons were great sermon starters.
Yep.
And so I like to think that the Mindset List is kind of a good back-to-school conversation starter.
All right. We have some people that would like to ask you questions and comment on things. And Colleen has been on hold for a while. Colleen, this is Tom McBride.
Hello, hi, Tom. Hello.
Hi there.
So I was listening to what you were saying, and I've worked in higher ed for the last 13 years. And out of curiosity, you know, the millennial generation, while very tech savvy, is lacking some basic communication skills like face-to-face human communication and, you know, essay written communication skills because they're texting so much. How do you think universities can address this?
Well, I think you're absolutely, first of all, I want to completely agree with you. And, you know, I want to say that, you know, I have found myself, particularly towards the end of my career, almost teaching, you know, college students stuff about grammar and mechanics that I thought that I had sort of mastered in the 10th grade, you know, back in the yeah. old days when we taught gerunds and participles and semicolons every year. So I think, you know, that there's really no substitute, you know, for actually, you know, getting in there and teaching, you know, the hard knocks of writing. As far as speaking is concerned, I think that's something that universities have been ignoring for years. I had an old colleague once who said that, you know, literacy gets you through college, but it's oral skills that get you through life and get you through work. So, you know, what I tried to do towards particularly the last 15 years, I would take time out to actually force students to give reports in class. And I would say, you know, you've got 5 minutes to summarize this chapter, and you only have 5 minutes, and you need to be very concise, you need to be engaging. And I would actually, even particularly when the technology got better, I would actually, you know, videotape them so they could see what they look like, you know, to the rest of us. Now, as one other thing, then I'll shut up. As far as texting is concerned, you know, the one great thing about texting as a way of teaching is that texting is a little bit like what Sherlock Holmes used to say about telegrams. You know, he said, I send telegrams because they force me to be concise and really get down to the essence of a matter. So I like the idea, and I used to do this, of actually having students get together in a small group and text in a very concise sentence the summary of a particular chapter or a particular concept. You know, it would force them to boil it down to its essential points. They would then text to another group, and then that group would text to them, and then they could argue about, you know, which text was a more accurate rendition. And that, all of this is in the Millennial Promise. So I think it's possible to use some of this high-tech stuff to actually enhance learning. And, you know, it's not necessarily just a foe of learning. It can be a friend.
Thank you,
sorry,
Colleen.
It's gone on for so long.
We appreciate your call, Colleen.
Tom, can I run a theory past you? I
sure.
feel that people of older generations, ourselves, were much more cognizant of things that predated them, things that happened before they were alive. Even
That's
though we
right.
weren't around for them, they meant something. We wanted to find out about them. I always think that the kids growing up today, your high school into college years, if they weren't alive for it, it really doesn't matter much for them.
Yeah, and I really do blame technology, you know, particularly the internet, on that. I mean, I just think that when we were kids, you know, we had a sort of mainframe story. And, you know, I mean, just to give you a very nostalgic example, I watched the Andy Griffith Show with my parents.
Yeah.
Now, you know, how uncool is that? How, you know, how dweeby is that? Okay. But, of course, I did that because we had only three networks.
Right. Mm-hmm. Not much choice back then.
Not much choice. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I think that the human brain can only absorb so much information. And I think that, you know, it's harder and harder to really come up with important stuff. It really is. You know, some history departments now have sort of given up teaching the big narratives. They're just teaching how to research local history now. History has really become kind of a research skill rather than, you know, trying to understand, you know, the big narratives of American or European history.
Sure.
And it's a real paradigm shift, and it's one that, you know, really makes me feel, you know, terribly out of it.
We need to take a break. How are you for time? Because we have other people who have questions.
Plenty of time.
All right. Hang on one moment. It is Tom McBride. He is professor emeritus at Beloit College, and he's helped come up and compile this list since 1998.
Yeah, it's called the Beloit College Mindset List. It changes every year, of course, having to do with what year the class is. But if you haven't seen it, it really is quite an eye-opener.
So we'll take a quick break, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. We are talking with Tom McBride, and it's quite a pleasure to do so. He's professor of English emeritus at Beloit College, and we're talking, I'm not making fun of millennials, and they shouldn't be made fun of, but there are kids that are born now in this huge list of things.
Yeah, every year it's an annual event when the Beloit College's mind list for the class of, and this year it's 2020, comes out. Some big surprises for everybody.
All right, we have someone who has a question or... all right, I don't even know where to go with this. Hang on one second, Tom. And Jody wants to talk about... I guess you're a teacher, Jody.
I was a teacher, and I used to teach Julius Caesar. So to prepare for Julius Caesar, I used to have the kids talk to their parents about what they were doing and what they remember about the day Kennedy was assassinated. And I shortly realized that their parents had no memories of it.
Oh, no.
That they had to go back and talk to their grandparents about what they remembered.
Man.
And that was crazy for me.
It was an eye-opener for you, wasn't it?
It was.
Jody.
I just wanted to share that. Yeah?
I was sure you were going to say, when I asked my kids who Julius Caesar was, they were going to say, I think he used to work with Imogen Coca. Is that the same one?
Exactly. They wouldn't remember that.
No, probably not.
There's right. A blast from the past, Imogen Coca.
Wow. Correct.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to share that story.
Thank you so much, Jody. That's scary.
Yeah, you know, just picking up quickly on what Jody said, you know, we used to ask students, you know, as we've been doing this project, what if I say the Kennedy tragedy, what do you mean? And, you know, in the last 15 years, they've all said JFK Jr.
Oh,
the
no.
Plane crash.
Wow.
That's
yeah.
Wild.
Wow. Wendy and I, you know, they do a thing, National Record Day, every year, Tom, and we were talking about the process by which we get our music now as opposed to in the old days. And I remember mm-hmm. telling my daughters that I would go, there was a record store near where I grew up, and if they didn't have the singles in stock, the 45s that I wanted, I'd order them, and 6 to 8 weeks later, they would come in, and I would go and get them. And my daughters yeah. thought I was kidding. They go, well, you just download right. music. It's instantaneous.
That's right. That's right. You know, that's the thing that Pascal, the French philosopher, once said, that the world would be a lot more peaceful if people could learn how to sit in a quiet room by themselves and just think and,
right.
and contemplate. And I don't think this is what this generation has signed up for. You know, you kind of wonder about their capacity for patience. You know, what was the idea of all good things come to those who wait?
Yeah.
Wait, what's that?
Right. So in turn, that kind of messes up the attention span of a generation or two, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And, you know, I mean, I think it would be, you know, fair to say that we really don't know for sure because we just haven't had enough time and a lot of research. We just don't know what this technology is going to mean for attention span and the ability to read faces, the ability to have face-to-face conversations. We just don't know yet. But, you know, there are certain social scientists, very smart people like Sherry Turkle at MIT, who are convinced that this is really messing up, you know, these kids' heads and attention spans and so forth and so on. That, you know, they're very good at sort of retrieving data. They're not very good at getting the context of data. And this is because of what we were saying earlier, because there's a sort of, you know, larger story that they're missing. And so, yeah, if we wanted to worry about it, we certainly could.
Yeah, but they said that, you know, that happened to us, too, with TV and rock and roll. That was going to ruin
us. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. You know, another one of our books is called The Mindset List of American History. It looks at American history through 18-year-olds over 10 generations. What was it like to grow up, you know, as an 18-year-old in 1913? And one of the things we learned was that this is standard, just as you say, you know, Wendy, that every older generation thinks that the younger generation is sending the world to hell in a handbasket. So we really do have to be careful about this. But I've always said in response to that, but one of these days, one of these older generations is going to be right. I just hope it's not ours.
Such a pleasure talking to you. I want to mention, too, the Millennial Promise, 40 Tips from the Mindset List. Yes, it just came out, Amazon.
It's 40 Tips from the Mindset List on how to teach and educate millennials, how to appeal to their emotions, digital technology, how to give assignments, how to deal with the whole economic aspect of education and so forth.
I know it's not fair.
A lot of good stuff.
It sounds like it's a lot of good stuff. It's not fair to ask you this with only a minute left, but a quick question and a quick answer, if you wouldn't mind. I read a study about a year ago saying that because we're all so Google ready, you know, if there's some question, we just immediately go to Google, that pathway in our brain is slowly shutting down. That thing where you'd lead A to B to C is shutting down. And because of that, I don't use Google. I don't want to use it. I want to force myself to think of things. Do you believe there's some truth to that or not?
I do think there's some truth to that. Again, you know, I don't think we could be at all definitive, but there was a piece, I think, in The Atlantic called How Google is Making Us Stupid.
Yeah.
STOOPID. Okay, and it's a similar, you know, kind of argument, and you know, I don't know if that's true, but I think it is fairly clear that you know, particular neural pathways really do get sharper as they are used, just like with a computer. You know, I mean, the more you go to a particular website, the faster the computer will take you there. So you know, the brain is. It's similar, you know. You have to have practice. So, I think there's something to that.
You make me feel a little guilty. I have two teenage sons, and a lot of times they will ask me questions, and I'm right in the middle of stuff. So I'll be like, I don't know. Would you just Google it? But I should take this as a time to communicate. And glad that they're asking me about my wisdom.
Mom, what time's dinner? No. Google it. I don't have time to tell you.
My response to that is, you know, I've got one of each. I've got a son and a daughter. In fact, Steve Bertrand knows my son because he was in Ireland with us. And anybody who raises little boys will despair that they're ever going to amount to anything. So, but they nearly always turn out.
Sure, of course they do. Yeah.
Nearly.
You turned out okay, Tom.
There you go. Thank you. Great to talk to you, too.
You as
well. Great to talk to you, Tom. Again.
Yeah, love to hear you all the time.
Thank you. For people who want to get the book, it's available at Amazon. And again, that title is?
The Millennial Promise. Just go to Amazon and type in The Millennial Promise.
And, of course, the Beloit College Mindset List for the class of 2020 is available all over online. You can find it on your computer or your phone. Thank you so much, Tom.
Beloit.edu, Mindset, or themindsetlist.com.
We appreciate you being here. Thanks, Tom.
Hey, great. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We still have to go over some of these,
I got
though,
a couple more.
Back.
I can throw you a couple more. Stick around. More show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and Wendy with you on WGN.
Hi,
Wendy. Nice to see you. 312-981-7200 if you want to call in, Wendy. You can.
Okay.
Are you going to call in?
Yeah.
It would be nice to talk to you, find out what you've been up to.
What's the number?
Call 312. Call collect. You know what? Call collect. I'll accept the charges. 312-981-7200. See what happens.
You're going to cause a tear in the matrix by doing this or something like that.
It's ringing. Answer me.
You're going to talk to future Wendy. Oh, wait. Would you be talking to future Wendy or Wendy from the past?
Oh, no. It didn't go through.
All lines are busy. Call again. Call again later. I'll put you through.
I want to talk to Kevin. I wanted to see if he's nice to the listeners.
If it was you,
well, you wouldn't know.
He'd recognize your voice. We were talking about the Beloit College mindset list for this year's class. It's hard to believe, but the kids entering college right now, and I call them kids because they are.
They are compared to us.
They are. They are the class of 2020. It sounds like the future. It does sound like the future.
It does.
But what do they know? What have they known their whole lives? What don't they know? What have they not known their whole lives and just don't care about?
I have one, and you could do the sound effect for it.
I would help you. What is it?
You used to do a good job at this. The sound that you would get when you would dial up the internet, literally dial it up.
Oh, I don't think I can do that one anymore. Like that?
Sort of.
When you would get that noise.
But remember, that was something
right.
When the internet first started, that you'd have to call AOL, your phone, you'd hear your computer dialing, and you'd
right.
think, wow, this is so space age.
Did you have this, like we had this on our computer, and I guess everybody did.
Let's hear this. All right. I can't wait to hear it.
I'm almost sure everybody had this. If I was on the internet in the early days of the internet, mm-hmm. and then somebody called us at our house, it would knock me off the internet
yes.
so that our phone would ring and my wife could talk to whoever it was and explain that I was on eBay trying to get something and now I've been knocked off.
That could happen, or the person calling would get a busy signal because it was using your phone line.
Oh, right. That would also... No, I think ours immediately went to the phone.
What like company it just, did you have?
I don't like, remember who we had.
Internets are us?
No, it was a legit company.
AOL was the only thing around. And again, we'd like to put this warning out every so often. If you're still paying the monthly fee for AOL,
right.
which every time we talk about this, people go, what do you mean? You have
right.
to pay. You don't.
Right.
You signed up for a screen name at AOL.com.
Right.
And you got the little CD that you would put on your computer.
That's right.
You don't have to pay, and AOL's not going to call you and say, why are you paying
right.
$29.99 a month?
Also, if you're still paying for an Iceman to deliver a giant block of ice for your refrigerator, you don't have to do that
Go
anymore.
Go ahead and laugh at me, but every time this has come up,
I know some
my
calls.
In-laws were like, wait, you mean you don't have to pay for it anymore? No, you haven't in like 15 years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I know that. All right, so back to the list, the Beloit College Mindset List. These are things that college students of today, those entering college, have known their entire lives. It's all they know. It's their reality.
It's the list that makes us feel older.
Yeah, it does. My list smells like Grecian formula.
Mine smells like Ben Gay.
Yep. Yep. Nanny cams.
Wait, do you know what Ben Gay is, Kevin?
Kevin, do you know what Ben Gay is?
Do you know what Ben Gay is?
Yeah, it's like the muscle cream or something.
Yeah,
right?
Muscle cream.
All right, I feel a little better. Yep.
Nanny cams have always been available to check up on your babysitter. So that invention, that small camera that you could put somewhere in your house to make sure things were on the up and up, that's happened in the last 15 to 20 years. So they're familiar with it. They know about it.
Yeah, but that gives me an idea.
What is it?
Teenage boys, as they get older, I'm getting a nanny cam so I can keep track of them when I go out of town.
I don't think you want to see what's on that video. I don't think you're ready for that.
And then I'll hook it up so I can lock them out of the house. We don't have an alarm system yet.
Good.
Not that one that does that.
Good.
There's got to be some remote way to... Lock
them
out of the house.
Oh, maybe. There might be.
Oh, interesting.
The kids today, you know, the kids of the class of 2020, have no memory of Bob Dole promoting Viagra.
Well, that's probably a good thing.
Was that 18 years ago, 19 years ago?
Yeah.
It would have been, right? Bob Dole for Viagra. Remember his line in there, which was like, it's the best double entendre of all time.
Like my pencil?
No, it was not like my pencil.
Actually, he held a pen, not a pencil.
It was not like my pen or pencil.
What was it?
He would explain, or it was explained in the commercial, that he was now using Viagra. And then they showed on a television a clip of Britney Spears, and his dog was there, and he says, down, boy, like that. That is the That is the snarkiest double entendre of all time.
Given by Bob Dole.
By Bob Dole. I don't know. I'm not positive
Bob Dole liked
knew
that commercial.
Do you think Bob Dole even got, like, when he read that in the script, and then he's like, what does this mean? They go, well, because your dog's excited. You know, your dog's crazy. So you're saying down boy through the dog.
I think all he saw was the check. I don't think maybe he cared about
maybe
anything else.
Yeah, that could be it. Bluetooth has always been keeping us wireless and synchronized. Has Bluetooth been around that long? That can't be. Bluetooth?
Yeah.
For 18 or 19 years? Really? That seems...
4 out of 5 dentists surveyed.
That seems long to me. I'm surprised. Down boy. X-rays have always been digital, allowing them to be read immediately. Now, when we would have an X-ray as a kid, they would get back to you soon, but not instantaneously.
Well,
right?
That they don't. I don't know. You have to go through your doctor still, so you're not getting. They get the results instantly, but then your doctor's
still
the one that
some
has
time
to
get to you.
Yeah, I mean, the technician can't tell you the results of
right
it. But
you can read their face, though. Did you ever do that?
I know.
Look at the technician's face?
Yeah.
And if they're making weird googly eyes, you go, what are you looking at? Nothing.
Or if they go, oh, my God. Right. I've never seen anything like that
what
before.
What is that? What is that thing?
But, you know, I've had knee problems my whole life.
Yeah.
And the X-rays, if I switched doctors or had to have surgery, you would have to go physically pick up the giant X-rays that were like a giant
right
camera negative.
But now they can just text
right
them
digitally
to you or put it on your phone or yeah something, right? Yeah, it's instantaneous.
I have a T-shirt with my X-rays on it.
I'll bring that in. That would be
just
fun.
Wear it.
All right, wear that. That would be fun. This one's crazy. Some have always questioned the sexual orientation of a certain Teletubby.
Yeah, but that's
just the that's yeah.
Tinky Winky, purple, carried a purse.
Yeah, and why shouldn't he? He had a lot of stuff.
I didn't question it. I just said, you know, the red purse doesn't go
right
with your purple body.
Right. So our generation's version of that was probably Peppermint Patty, wasn't it?
I don't know what you're saying.
Don't you think, like, people said, oh, that Peppermint Patty, that's interesting. Like, didn't you think that for a little while? Like, oh, Peppermint Patty, good for her. I always did.
I thought she was cool.
She what? She is cool. And her friend Marcy's also cool.
I don't
good
get
for
what
them
you're saying.
Good for them.
Bert and Ernie.
It's the that's what, yeah.
I never so thought that. Ernie, I watched a cartoon. I didn't get deep in thought about
maybe
what
Velma
their orient.
Maybe Velma.
I never
maybe
thought about it. You're thinking about that as an adult. You thought about that as a kid?
Yeah.
You're advanced. No yeah wonder you skipped kindergarten and you're ambidextrous.
That's why. That's why I skipped kindergarten. They said, what are your thoughts on Peppermint Patty? Well, I do have some thoughts about Peppermint Patty. Would you like to hear them? Yes, we would. I'll take a quick break.
Says a guy wearing someone else's shorts.
I am wearing someone else's pants.
And if you
pants
don't know, check out the podcast.
I am wearing someone
full
else's
show
pants right now. Stick around. More show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, summer is here, and when do your kids go back to school? Is this something I shouldn't bring up?
Kylie leaves tomorrow morning for New York.
And you are
Reese
not a
has
wreck?
I am a wreck. I am an absolute wreck. And then Reese is staying local this year. She's going to school here in town, and she starts in 2 weeks. But the family unit as we know it changes tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
And I am a wreck.
I should have been nicer to you today.
No, I wouldn't know what to do with that. I'd be confused by it.
She went away before, during her gap year, but it was only for 6 weeks. But it was so far away, I would think this would be easier for you.
For
she's
some,
already left.
For some reason, this is harder, and I don't know why. I think it's because I knew Costa Rica was a solid 6 weeks. But this, she even said, this is the first time she's ever purchased a one-way ticket anywhere. Because she'll be back at some point, probably Thanksgiving and Christmas, but it's just, I don't know. I'm not doing well with it. I'm not going to be good tomorrow morning. I know that.
You always look for other stories to make yourself feel better.
Yes.
And a good friend of mine who lives across the street, Rose, her daughter left for Germany,
mm-hmm,
and she's going to be a junior in high school. She wanted to do a foreign exchange thing, and her mom and dad kind of said, okay, well, if you get a scholarship, go ahead and do it. Well, Grace got a scholarship, and the full year is paid for, and she left 2 days ago, I think last week, Thursday, mm-hmm, and she cannot come home until the year is out. And I said, what do you mean? well, she can't come home for Christmas. No, she can't come. Why not? Because they feel it's an adjustment going to another country where you don't know the language.
Right.
And if you come home for Christmas, you're going to talk your parents into not letting you go back.
Oh, I never thought of that.
So doesn't that make you feel worse?
Can
talk to her, text her, FaceTime, but she can't come back till the school year is over.
That's tough. I never heard of something like that. I wouldn't like that at all.
I hate to say that I'm a quitter because I'm really not.
Right.
But you have to know that there's always an out for everything.
Oh,
like if something is terribly miserable, so you lose a little money.
I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but I know, like in this particular instance, like with Costa Rica, I knew I was going to see her in 42 days, that she was going to be gone for 6 weeks, and then in 42 days I would see her. And Thanksgiving right now seems like a long, long, long way away to me, you know? So, I'm hoping everything goes well, but I should be better at this. You saw what a basket case I was last year with Reese. I don't know. I should be better at this.
Does it help that one's at home now?
Yes, it does. It really does.
Because, you know, I was thinking about it. I have one more year before Michael goes away to school, and now I'm hoping he goes to a junior college because financially it would be much more accommodating for me.
Right.
But there's still one at home with you, and I keep having to remind myself of this. You were doing everything in twos.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of people will have two kids, but they go at different times.
Right.
Yours were flying the nest at the same time.
Yeah. And it hasn't really happened. I mean, we had time last year when Reese was at Dayton and Kylie was in Costa Rica where it was just my wife and I. And we had a great time. It was fantastic. It really was. But I don't know. I'm too emotional. Like every time everything reminds me of them.
You are just adorable. I can't even look at you.
I know I'm not the only one who goes through this. And I know Kathy and Judy every year would do that show where parents were taking their kids to college. And the first few years I heard it, I went, I don't understand what the big deal is. You knew they were going to go away to college. But then every year it started to hit home a little bit more that those days were coming for us. And now they're here.
What helped me spread my wings, not my son Michael's, when he went to Ireland. Remember, he went with his choir last year for spring break. And I told you, I'm like, I don't know if I can let him go. And you're like, you got to let him go.
Yeah.
And it was just 10 days.
Right.
But I'll tell you, in the days of texting and FaceTiming, mm-hmm. it has made, I'm telling you, I did not cry once.
You didn't?
No, because I'm like, this is great for him to spread his wings. I need to spread my wings a little bit too and let him out of the nest. And really, the texting made it so really anytime you want to talk to him
he's
and FaceTime,
close.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think that's helped. When I went away to college, you had to wait in line to use the phone. I hated it. I had a boyfriend at home. I couldn't wait to get home.
Yeah.
It's different now.
The original plan was they're leaving for New York. Kylie is leaving for New York for school. And then Terry, my wife, and Reese, my other daughter, are going to help her move in. So they're going to be gone for a few days. The original plan was for me to also go.
Yeah, why not?
Because Reese said, having experienced me being there last year, she goes, you don't want Dad there because it's a mess. He doesn't stop crying. Everything you do, it's like, oh, this is the last time she'll order ginger ale, you know, no matter what it is. And I know because I remember, and it's embarrassing, you know, because it's like, how I knew this was coming. I've had 19 years to think about this. It's not a surprise.
Doesn't make it any easier.
No,
I don't care how
not.
Long you have to think about it. It doesn't make it any easier.
Right, right. And now I'm going through this thing, and I did this last year with Reese, too, where we have pictures of the girls up in every room in our house. So every time I pass a picture of either one of them, I say, yeah, look, in that picture, there she is. She's 4 years old. She's not going to college because she's 4 years old. And then I go into the other room and I go, oh, no, I'm wrong. She's 6 years old because there she is at her sixth birthday party. So she can't be going to college because she's six and she's having cake. And then I walk in the other room and there's giant boxes of things she's taken to New York. And I just spin around and go, oh, what happened?
Reese is so 100% dead on of making sure you don't come with.
I know. Reese called the airlines and said, look, if a guy named Bill Leff calls and he's trying to book a flight to New York, his money's no good. Don't take his money.
What we're going to have to do is take those pictures of your daughters and replace them with pictures of Steve Buscemi. And then that would make you laugh and not cry
right.
every day.
But then I go, oh, but Steve Buscemi probably went away to college. This is so sad. All right, we'll find out what Ro and Anna have coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.